All right, well, this is recording.
Well, I'm not on yet. I'm not on.
Well, it's recording, so deal with it. Now we're going to go to the LatioCast.
And now we're going to be us goofballs. All right, the stream started. We should be live right now on the hot mic.
Oh, let me look.
I wonder if it's a double entendre, like the head guy over at Hot Mic. His name is like Mike something or other.
Yeah, is that what you think?
I don't know, and he's got like a fucking big package, and he's like, "Hey, I'm Hot Mike."
Why? Always.
I don't fucking know.
Right,
dude,
from
I don't
Jump
know.
Street.
It's a possibility, dude. Come on.
You went right from Jump Street. You went right into the big package.
Anything's a possibility. Hey, did you ever upload the liners?
Negative.
Ah. Well, then we're getting a shitty liner today. You can thank yourself for that.
Why do you have to say shitty liner? These are all fantastic former guests of the show.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. I feel terrible that I said that. It's going to be an awesome liner.
You know what? You are just you are like the fucking cloud on a rainy day, buddy. All right.
I'll tell you this much. We'll play the liner. I won't tell you who it is. And you tell me if it's on the top of the list or near the bottom of the list. Got it?
I can do that. So we got tons to talk about tonight. There's the G1 climax, the A final, the B final, the final. We got AEW Dynamite. It was the 1 year anniversary show. I'm sure you have tons you want to talk about. The UWN threw out another pay-per-view. We have the final Roosters for WWE SmackDown and Raw after the big draft. We had the SmackDown season premiere Friday night. We have the Raw season premiere tonight. We have Impact Bound for Glory this weekend. We have Hell in a Cell. Tony's so excited because you know what that means.
Pick, 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 pick.
That's right. Picks, bitches. And allegedly, WWE Hall of Famer Long is joining us at 7 p.m.
You're such a dick.
To talk about being a player, being the manager of Doom, being the Raw GM.
And drinking the Haterade.
And working with the Undertaker and whatever other crazy nonsense.
Tag team match, yo.
Kevin might join us tonight. Who knows? I don't know.
I
don't know. We're going to be on the rant, rantiumradio.com. That's all next here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 503.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. Become a Patreon at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody out there in wrestling land, when you want pro wrestling information at its finest, you're listening to Shining Wizard right here with my boys.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
It's episode 503. It's me, Tony, and Matt, and we can't wait for Kevin to get back. We're talking to Teddy Long, maybe in a few minutes. It's the Shining Wizards Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
My man, Matt, what's going on?
What's up, my man, T-Donk? How are you?
Chilling like a villain without my penicillin.
Oh, that sounds pretty serious.
No, everything's cool, man. Cool in the gang, as they would say.
Cool in the gang. I like it. How's your week been, buddy?
Just like cool in the gang, it's been fresh.
Wow. Wow.
Every time you mention SmackDown, I always want to bust out a little AC/DC. Like, are you ready? Wonder how much they pay for the rights to that song. You know, they've had
they've had great songs for beginnings of wrestling shows over the year. And I think that ranks up there with some of the better ones, don't you?
What's that? The AC/DC song? I love all AC/DC.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I'm a big AC/DC guy.
They got a new album coming out soon, don't they?
Yeah, I think in November.
Now, is it all the original guys? Are they still all back together? I mean, I know Bon Scott's not going to be there, obviously, but well, I mean, all the other guys?
I mean, Zombie Bon Scott could be there.
Ooh.
Yes, I believe it is all the, I think, is somebody dead? Malcolm Young is dead?
Wait, is Malcolm Young the guitar player? His brother's dead, I think.
The bass player, the rhythm guitar player. One of them is dead. So it's not the original lineup, no, because you can't have, you can't take
any
out.
Any idea who they got to take his place?
No.
Is it going to be like roving?
No, because I know the thing with AC/DC was they had stopped. They just went cold turkey because Brian Johnson fucked his voice up.
Yes.
But I guess his voice is back now and he can sing. So it's one of. One of the things. Hold on, Tony. Pontificate by yourself for a second.
I will definitely do that, sir. This one time when I was in band camp, I started watching wrestling. I was probably about 10 years old. And the very first match that I ever saw was probably 1985, I want to say. It was Hulk Hogan.
Hey.
What?
Is Teddy Long in the queue waiting to come in?
No, he's not. Matt is trying to help Mr. Theodore Long get into the queue for the call. So I am going to continue to pontificate. Anyway, very young Tony at the time. I want to say I was probably just turned 11. That kind of seems late for somebody to become a wrestling fan. But this is the first real memory I have of pro wrestling. Not necessarily the first thing in pro wrestling that I've ever seen, at least that I can recall with vividly. Something like that. I'm not exactly a wordsmith. Anyway, the match was on the MSG network, the Madison Square Garden network, because the Madison Square Garden network was the place to watch house shows when you couldn't get out to the house shows. And they would also show matches from the Brendan Byrne Arena at the time, which of course you may know as Continental or IZOD or whatever else they named it. And the very first match I remember seeing on said network was Hulk Hogan defending his silver sort of NWA TV title-ish WWF championship against the 6'9" Big John Studd. And I was kind of captivated. I realized that the Hulkster was a big man coming to the ring, surrounded by security and whatnot. But what I didn't realize was just how much bigger Big John Studd was. And I was all in. What's the word on Mr. Teddy Long?
Teddy Long is going to be trying to call in right about now. So,
okay. If he's continuing to have problems, we could always do the Skype switch if we need to, because I hate to keep having him futz around with technology.
You know what? If Teddy Long calls me back, playa, then we'll do the old switcheroo.
Because, I mean, it's if you're not used to making conference calls on a phone, it could be kind of confusing the way to get into the Zoom meetings.
Yeah,
technology.
He didn't tell me where he was calling from, if he was calling from his phone. He wrote everything down. He said, "Let me get a pen, player."
That's awesome.
So we got to figure this shit out. I said,
he said this shit?
Yeah, he did. We got to figure this shit out. It's such an inconvenience. So if he can't get it, he'll call me back. We'll switch over to the Skype. We'll dial him up on the old
Skyperino
telephone machine. We'll talk to the player Teddy Long. We got a couple heads in the hot mic. I see Kate the Great's in there. I see Aunt Money's in there. It looks like all the people that are from my squad that'll support the show. I don't see any of your fucking friends there. I don't see any of Kevin's friends there.
I'm married with a child. I have no friends, dude. You know this.
That's not true.
I had some of my buddies, some of my boys buying some Halloween Shining Wizard shirts. You actually sent them out last week for them, and we appreciate that.
That's what I do. I am a very well-known man at the postal office.
Look, folks, there's only a couple of size. There's only a couple left in each size. Some of them are like this close to selling out. And if you want to get them in time for Halloween, order that shit sooner rather than later. $20 over to wizardspodcast@gmail.com on the PayPal. $20. But if you're a Patreon subscriber, we're knocking that down to 16. We're giving you 20% off. That is 20%, right? Yes, Tony Math. Perfect. And forget the shirts. We are about to admit the WWE Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Teddy Long. Teddy, how are you, my friend? Welcome.
Teddy, how are you?
Looking good, my man. Looking good. Yeah, yes, we got you. Can you hear us?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I can hear you, man.
Sounds good. Sounds good. How are you tonight? How's everything been?
Hey, man, I'm very good, man. How about you guys, man? Y'all surviving this COVID?
Yeah, you ain't kidding, man. It's been a trip, but we're surviving. We're doing our best.
Right.
I want to ask you, we'll get right into it. I see your shirt there. Can you tell everybody out there who's unfamiliar what the SWEs are?
Well, SWE Theory, it's a wrestling company that ran out of Dallas, Texas. It's ran by Tom Lance and James Beard. A lot of people remember James Beard from back in the Fritz Von Erich days. He was a guy that worked for Fritz for a real long time. Tom Lance, he was also a part of that organization too. So these guys got their own company together, and I had the opportunity to see some of their stuff, and it looked real good, man. And I just, you know, and then I saw that Rodney Mack and Jazz, two people that I had the, opportunity to manage, I saw that they were working for these guys. So I called Jazz and talked to them and, you know, to see about them, you know, and they, you know, really put them over, said they were great professional people. And I said, well, let me get these guys a call. So I gave them a call and talked to them and said, you know, and let them know, hey, man, if you guys need any help out there, I'd be happy to come out, you know. And so, you know, they were just three of that I called them, you know. And so we got together and worked out something. And so I'm in there now. So I'm the general manager of SW Fury, and we're on the CW network with a lot of channels in Louisiana, Mississippi. We're on the Title Match Network, and we're also on Fight TV. So the CW is certainly really giving us a lot of TV time. So like I said, they're in Louisiana, Mississippi, and some in Texas. And so they got a lot of TV. So we're coming along pretty good, man. And we just brought in Kevin Sullivan, which Kevin is going to be, you know, helping us doing with the TV, doing the writing and the booking. And as you know, Kevin Sullivan, he has a great mind for this business. He's a guy that I broke in the business under. And, you know, and he, like I said, a lot of people don't give Kevin credit, but he was the one created the NWO. And so Kevin's, you know, I got to get all of his ideas out of him before it's too late. You know what I mean? So Kevin... So I think with me and him, you know, with our heads together, we're putting on this, you know, put our heads together, and we're going to make a good TV show in SWE.
So once a general manager, always a general manager.
What now?
I said once a general manager, always a general manager.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what I do, player. You know, I did that for 15 years with Vince McMahon and the WWE. So that's kind of my brand, the GM, player.
Now, you also were a manager and a referee. Is the GM your favorite role?
Well, my favorite role is the one that pays the most money. No, but laying all jokes aside, man, you know, I'm just, you know, happy to accomplish, man. Thank the good Lord. God has blessed me. And like I said, you know, if I'd never been a guy that put up the ring or took the ring down or really got jacked as a referee, then I wouldn't be where I am today. So I always cherish being a referee. I'm not ashamed of that. And I'll put that stripe on right now if anybody wants me to do it. So, you know, just being able to be successful and to come from what I came from, man. I just want to thank God, man. I want to thank all the Teddy Long players and fans out there, people that have supported me in the past and people that are still supporting me. And I got some more new information for you guys. You might not be able to believe this, but we're going to talk about this a little later. I'm involved in some other stuff. So things are
Uh-oh, did we lose Teddy?
I hope we didn't lose Teddy. The connection is...
I'm here. I hear you guys.
Okay, awesome. I think we lost you a little bit that you said you had something to tell us.
Well, I had some new things that I'm involved in, and this is going to shock you because, you know, who would think Teddy Long would be hooked up with the rappers? So I'm involved now with the Little Flip He's a rapper, I'm pretty sure you know, DJ Hard Hitter, DJ Tony Snow. And right now they're putting together a big podcast for me. And the podcast is going to be called Hold On A Minute, Player. So we're gonna be doing starting that podcast pretty soon. I'm gonna go out to Dallas, Texas next month and do a lot of taping and get that on the road. But my big podcast is coming, and I'm gonna have my first guest. I do know will be Jake the Snake. But we're gonna have a lot of wrestlers on. And we have a lot of reps. You never know, you might see Chris Brown, anybody on there.
That's amazing. I would love
to get that. Wait.
Yeah, no, we got you. If we're quiet for a second, we're just waiting for the audio to catch up. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, all this is brand new to me, you know, of course, working with the rap artists and stuff, you know, but a lot of them I do talk to, like Wale, you know, he's a good, Teddy Long fan. Lil Flip, Mike Jones, I had a chance to see him down there while I was there, man. So, I mean, there may be some others out there. Well, I know Lil Wayne's a Teddy Long fan, so there may be some more out there, man. So we're going to be interviewing him. Going to be interviewing a lot of wrestlers, and we're going to be interviewing a lot of the SWE talent. You know, we got the Boogeyman, he's in there now doing a lot of stuff with him, and we got Tim Storm, he's the SWE heavyweight champion, and also Road Warrior Animal. Let me speak on that because he was there with us for a little bit of time, and we had a lot of plans for him. He was going to be in charge of the Road Warrior Invitational Tag Team Tournament, which we are still going to do that. But let me say, you know, he's certainly going to be missed because we, like I said, we had a lot of big plans for him, and I was just glad to be able to be working with him. So Road Warrior Animal was there, but God rest his soul, and he's certainly going to be missed.
I got to ask you, I've been doing a little bit of a Teddy Long deep dive, and I've been enjoying going and listening to some of the shoot interviews you've done and stories. Any stories you have about the Road Warriors you might want to share with us?
Well, not really. You know, we had some great matches with Butch Reed and Ron Simmons. We had a chance to work with them for a long time. Doom did. We had great matches. You know, we had a chance to work with them when I was part of the Skyscrapers, when I had Sid Vicious, Danny Spivey. Well, at one time, you know, you guys remember Sid Vicious, I think he got injured or something, and he wasn't able to perform. And so we brought in Mean Mark Callis,
yep,
which is now The Undertaker. And he came in, tagged up with Danny Spivey, and was part of the Skyscrapers. And, I tell you a good story. I know what, here's a good one. We had Butch Reed and Ron Simmons. I was managing them at the time, and we were in Corpus Christi, Texas. And evidently, Butch Reed didn't smarten his daddy up. He didn't tell his daddy what really was going on. And so the Road Warriors then, they were just beating the dog crap out of Butch. And man, his daddy, we didn't even know his father was there. So his daddy was like sitting on the front row. And then next thing we knew, his daddy jumped out of his seat, pulled a big knife out of his pocket, and he was headed to the ring with that knife. So the police had to grab him, and they were, you know, they don't know he's Butch's daddy. So they grab him, they drag him in the back and everything. So Butch had to, you know, we had to hurry him, try to finish the match because we wanted Butch to go and try to keep them from locking his daddy up. So that was a good story there at Corpus Christi, Texas, is where that happened.
A wealth of knowledge, a lifetime of experience. We're on the line with Teddy Long, at Teddy Play Along on Twitter, and he's rocking that SWE gear at SWE Fury TV. And as he mentioned before, hold on a minute, playa, the podcast is coming. And Teddy Long's here talking with us all things pro wrestling. Hall of Famer, by the way. How much did that mean for you to be considered a member of the WWE Hall of Fame?
Well, it was a great honor, a big, big deal for me because, you know, I always looked at the Hall of Fame like, you know, that, you know, wasn't for guys like managers or guys, you know, that were doing what I was doing. I felt that was just really designed for the wrestlers, you know, guys that get out in that ring and, you know, and bust their butt each and every night and take bumps and, you know what I mean, and do a lot of damage to their bodies. And so those guys deserve to be in something like that. So when Vince McMahon gave me the call and said that he was going to do that for me, it was kind of speechless, man. I was, you know, because I was honored, and it was a big surprise because I never dreamed that I would have been in the Hall of Fame.
Did you have a say in who gave you your induction speech, or did you get to pick JBL and Ron Simmons?
Well, no, I didn't get a chance to pick them. They didn't even tell me who was going to induct me until way on down the line. And then when I did find out, and I think I think probably that was a Vince decision, because he knew back, you know, when I first came into WWE, that I rolled with Bradshaw and Ron, you know, that was like the guys that I rolled with. And so I had a lot of history with them, you know, where I left Ron Simmons standing in the snow one time, you know, I drove off and left him. I didn't know he had got out of the car. But that comes from drinking a lot of beer. Do we work too much beer? So when you're alcoholed up like that, you know, you forget. So man, you know, like I said, it was great to have Ron and John, man. They, you know, that almost brought a tear to me, because there's two guys that really, you know me, and they helped me so much, man. And when I got there and took care of me. So man, to have them induct me was a great honor.
I had a question and it escaped my tiny little brain. Shit.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay.
So Teddy, when you came to WWE, like I know, like, you know, there's more history, NWA, WCW, whatnot, but when you came to WWE, they had you working as a referee. What did it take for them to realize, you know, like, hey, we've got this guy here. He's got a great personality. He can move. He could be a manager. There's so many other things we could put him in, but let's just keep him as a referee for now. Like, when did that moment come where they said, like, hey, you know, like, let's get Teddy in front of the camera doing some other stuff. Let's give him a microphone. Let's make him an authority figure. Like, how did that come about?
Well, you know, now this is the way I got it. And basically, I believe this is the truth, because this came from the people that were in the meeting. I heard that they were having a production meeting one day and they were talking about bringing in managers. And so the guy, Ernest the Cat Miller's name came up. And I think John Law, he was a John Laurinaitis fan. John Laurinaitis liked him. And he brought his name up to bring him in. And that was Sergeant Slaughter, Earl Hebner, and Michael Hayes. They was in this meeting. And what happened is they brought up my name and they told Vince, you know, that, hey, Teddy Long, you know, the guy you got refereeing there, that he can talk. You know what I mean? They told him about my history in NWA and WCW. And so at the time I was at home. And so I got a call one day about 3 o'clock. Well, no, it was early in there, but got a call about early in the morning, and they were calling me from WCW, and I mean, not WCW, WWE. And John Laurinaitis called me and said, hey, we're bringing you back to TV. We want you to come in as a manager. So, you know, I just really shocked, man. And so they sent me a plane ticket, and I jumped on the plane that day, and I went into Providence, Rhode Island. And I walked out on TV that night, and I walked out with D'Lo Brown. And when I went out with D'Lo Brown and I cut that promo and I come back through the gorilla position, and Vince McMahon was standing up. And he was clapping for me, and he looked at me and he said, I couldn't believe I've had you right here under my nose all this time. And that's how that happened.
Teddy, let me ask you a question. You talk about your relationship with Ron Simmons and JBL. You're good friends. Do you still watch wrestling?
Yeah, I look at it every now and then. I get a chance.
Okay, well, I consider Tony a good friend, right? So I was waiting, right? I was very excited for the New Japan G1 finals, right? But what does this good friend over here do? He texts me, spoils it for me. What kind of friend does that? What kind of fucking asshole does that?
Oh, really?
Well,
would you do that to your friends, Teddy? I don't think Teddy Long would do that, playa.
Well, no, playa, I don't think I would do that unless. See, that's an unless right there, playa.
All right, I'm waiting. What's the unless?
Well, unless I had a reason.
Well, in fairness, the gentleman who won the tournament was the same guy who won it last year, and I'm a big fan of his, so
yeah.
I was a little excited. He was a back-to-back tournament winner. So who do you text when you're excited about something? You text your friend. Yeah.
I had the whole day. I had to work all day yesterday. I was like, I just can't wait to stay off social media. I'm going to get home, put my feet up in my chair. My beautiful wife's going to order some sushi. I'm going to watch some wrestling. And then you fucking ruined it for me. Teddy Long would do that. Teddy Long would put me and you in a match, an Inferno match, a barbed wire steel cage match, a last ride match, all stuff that Teddy Long has, matches that Teddy Long introduced to the WWE universe.
Right. Well, you know what I'll do if I have to, I'll put both of you in a tag team match, player. You know I'll do that.
Tag team Teddy, let's do it. Who are we facing?
Well, you might go one-on-one. I don't know, man. I'll figure it out.
I'll take on King Mo. Let's do it.
You don't want to take on King Mo. You could beat him in a heartbeat.
That's why I want to take on King Mo. Me?
Yeah. But King Mo is too easy. You need a real opponent.
Give me Bobby Lashley.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. I don't know how you come out in the end.
Oh, I do. I'll get my ass beat, but it'll be hysterical.
You don't have a spatula big enough to scrape that splat off the canvas. So, Teddy, so we're having a little fun saying the tag team match. And, of course, the big one is always one-on-one with The Undertaker. I mean, these have transcended wrestling. They've gotten into, like, pop culture and meme culture. Like, that's exciting. I mean, like, people come up to you all the time saying, like, one-on-one with The Undertaker and stuff like that. Because, I mean, that just went over the top, even for us as, like, younger fans, you know?
Right. Well, you know, let me tell you something about that. A lot of people thought that was just something, you know, that I came up with, you know, and I didn't, and it didn't happen like that. Vince McMahon, you know, I learned his way, and that's why I was there so long, because I learned what he liked and what he didn't like. And he came and told me one day, he says, when you introduce people like The Undertaker, and he named, you know, Triple H and other stars, he said, you need to put emphasis on that. You know what I mean? Like when I say The Undertaker, you know, he says, make that mean something. And so that's what I did. I just went out and started putting emphasis on it. The Undertaker, you'll go one-on-one or a tag team match. And that's all I was doing is what he asked me to do. So when I looked around, everybody loved it. So it became like a catchphrase. So, you know, that's just something that just happened.
It's just so awesome that it took off the way it did. Matt, you had something? I'm sorry.
No, it's actually our third member, Shining Wizards Kevin, has joined us, and I know he's chomping at the bit to talk to Teddy Long. So I'm sure you had tons of questions.
I don't know what you talked about yet. So this is, I'm kind of jumping in the pool with no swimmies here.
Well, if you,
hey, what's going on, player?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing very good, man. I'm telling you one thing now. You know, you already on my bad side. You're going to start being on time.
Yeah.
Well, I told Teddy, it's Mr. Long.
It's all right. It's all right to say, Teddy. You don't have to worry. Just calm down. Cause you're gonna be okay. Just start being on time.
Oh, I'll be just fine. It's been a Teddy, 2020, man. 2020 has got me.
Well, put the blunt down, man. That's all you got to do.
wrong vice.
Okay.
All right, so. Let me ask you this again. I don't know what the guys asked you already, but they touched on a little bit with The Undertaker and the holla, 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 and this and that. When you got inducted to the Hall of Fame, I rewatched that video. You know, they do the videos for everybody. And I feel like at a certain point, they could have just stopped. But then, like, because you had such a great career, but then all the comedy stuff that they include in those videos that are supposed to be so... like tribute worthy. Did you ever have a problem with being too comedic or too campy, or was it, or were you just rolling with the punches?
Well, you know, kind of basically what I did was mostly me. I mean, the writers wrote a lot of stuff for me. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? You just can't write for a black man. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to sound racist or nothing, but you know, you know, my culture is different. And if you haven't lived this, you don't really know how to, you know, to adapt. So I came up with the words player and different things. When I first went there, they told me they wanted me to be like Don King. Now, that's what they told me. And I said to them, I mean, whatever you guys wanted, you know, that's fine with me. So what happened is I just walked out on TV and I just started doing my own thing. And just I'm lucky enough for Vince McMahon to like it. So I had no problem with anything that I was asked to do. In fact, everything that I was asked to do, I added to it. You know, like the stuff with me and Vicky Guerrero. A lot of that stuff she done to me, I told her to do it. So I was happy with everything I did. And that's why I stayed with Vince, because you know I didn't have no problem doing anything.
That's incredible. I mean, and I wasn't taking anything away from that stuff, because that stuff was great and carried television shows. That stuff like carried 2-hour TV shows.
Oh, so, well, yeah, people still love it now. I mean, I just had a guy send me some stuff from when me and Paul Ellering was back in the day when we had a match. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. People like that. So, you know, I was just happy to be able to entertain.
And let me get to this, because I'm 99.9% sure this is a question that the guys did not ask. I like a lot of weird, obscure guys, and you've managed a lot of wrestlers that people probably don't even remember that you managed them.
Okay.
Guys like Mark Jindrak.
Yeah, the reflection of affection. I just happened to see him like a week ago. I just did this thing with Luke Gallows name for Fight TV.
Yeah, and, talking shop mania.
Yeah, I just finished doing that. And Jindrak was there, so it was great to see him.
But even guys like Jim Powers, guys like...
Yes, God. Yeah, I talked to him maybe like right before COVID. I talked to him, and me and him was going to be on a signing together in New Jersey. And the COVID is the thing that stopped it. But I talked to him because he had never been out on the road doing those signings. And he called me and he wanted to know, you know, what to do and, you know, how much money to ask for and all this stuff. So I was going to get a chance to see Jim Powers. And I want to tell your buddy over there, too, that Jim Powers is also a big sushi fan.
Oh,
I love it, too, man. He introduced me to, well, no, Kevin Sullivan is the one that introduced me to sushi. But Jim Powers loved it, too. And so him and I, we ate a lot of sushi together, too.
So I just name a couple. You have your Joey Maggs, you have your Rodney Max, all these guys. Who was the most underappreciated, underutilized guy that you've ever managed, in your opinion?
Hard work, Bobby Walker.
Good call. Good call.
Yeah. You remember him?
Yeah, of course. I was a fan.
Yeah. Hard work, Bobby Walker is the guy that they certainly... Well, Bobby, you know what I mean? I loved him, and he was a great guy, you know. And back in the day, you know, we had people there that just really, you know, kind of mistreated people. And Bobby happened to be on that end where some of the personnel, office personnel, you know, didn't like him or just didn't use him right. And so he just wasn't going to continue to put up with that. And so he finally – well, I did hear that he had a lawsuit against TBS back in the day. Now, I don't know how true this is, but this is what I heard, that he had a lawsuit back in the day. He got $1 million out of that lawsuit, and nobody never seen him again.
That'd be the same thing. I'd be ghost. If I got $1 million, you'd never hear from me again either.
Oh, right. I'd be Casper's daddy.
So wait, I missed the answer. I got technical problems. He said hard work, Bobby Walker?
Hard work, Bobby Walker.
Oh, so great. One of my favorite guys to watch on like Saturday night in WCW Pro.
Oh yeah, man.
Tremendous.
Teddy, you mentioned that some people in WCW gave him a hard time. And I know that you've talked about it over the years, that, you know, like certain personalities in wrestling have given you a hard time. Did you find that as the years went on that it got easier and people became easier to get along with, or, you know, are there still problems out there?
Well, there's still problems out there, you know what I mean? But they're not as big as they used to be, but there are still problems out there. And like I said, if you watch that TV, you can kind of see it.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, yeah, there's still problems out there. So my thing is this, that's why I try right now, you know, when I get out here and do stuff, I try to work with people that are real professional and people that ain't got that racist problem. And, you know, people that want to make money, you know what I mean? They don't care what color I am. They just want to make money. And that's what Vince McMahon did. He didn't care what color I was. He wanted to make money. He saw that there was money in me. So, but there were people, you know, there also too, that, you know, they didn't care about that, you know, just with the color of my skin, they just wasn't having it. So, you know, I don't worry about all that no more. That's all behind me. You know, God has blessed me to make it, you know. So these people that said I had no talent, a lot of them, you know, well, they're sitting back watching me now.
You mentioned working SW, SWE with Jazz. And Jazz recently just announced her retirement from professional wrestling. For those not familiar, how important was Jazz to the women's wrestling movement? Because I think she's one of the unsung heroes. I don't think she gets the credits that she deserves.
Well, yeah, Jazz was really important to that because Jazz was a great worker. Jazz was a great wrestler in the ring. So not only, you know, was Jazz able to come out and you know, do good things with her character, she was able to go back in that locker room and to help a lot of the other girls out that were kind of green and just coming on the scene. She was always there to help them with their matches. She was always there to give great advice. And if you went out there and did something, Jazz would stand at that curtain and she'd wait on those girls to come back and she'd pull them off to the side and tell them, don't you ever do that, or this is how you should have did that, or what needs to be done. So she was great. And also, by she's retiring, what we're going to do for an SWE is in San Antonio, our next TV taping in November 7th, we're going to put Jazz in the SWE Hall of Fame.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
Well deserved. Teddy, you've done it all. You've done the NWA, WCW, WWE, Reality of Wrestling, SWE. Do you consider yourself a wrestling historian?
No, not really. you know, like you say, I've done it all. So I just try to keep all the good memories and all of some of the bad memories, because, you know, I look back at some of the bad and see how it changed into good. So I wouldn't say I'm an historian. You know, I'm just a connoisseur.
Okay, a connoisseur then. I just got to get this out, Teddy. Okay, you were the ECW general manager, but let's all be honest. It wasn't ECW, was it?
No.
Well, suck it, Kevin and Tony!
You know, after Vince bought that, you know, after Vince bought ECW, then, you know, he was just determined to show him he was going to run it like he wanted to run it. And so, that was another spot for me. He come to me one day, I never forget it. He come to me and he pulled me off to the side and he says, I'm going to have you go out there and be a general manager of ECW. You got that? You can do that? I said, yeah, whatever you want. And so that was it. And he put me there. So he wouldn't have put me there if he didn't think that I could have helped ECW, because that's the way this business is. This man don't put you on TV just because he like you. He puts you on TV because you can help him, but it's also good that he does like you, because that kind of helps you out too.
Well, and because you're extreme.
Well. All
right. Teddy Long, yeah. Extreme. We're talking to Teddy Long at Teddy Play Along. Check out SWE at SWE Fury TV on the Twitter machine. And Teddy's got a podcast coming out. Kevin, you missed this. He's doing a podcast. Hold on a minute, playa, with Teddy Long. He's got some rappers involved. His first guest is going to be Jake the Snake Roberts, and it's coming in the very near future. So keep your eyes and ears on Teddy's Twitter machine. Teddy,
yeah,
you started.
That's gonna be good. Also, along my co-host on that podcast is gonna be DJ Tony Snow. He'll be right there helping me out, man. And like I said, we'll be doing a little flip. DJ Hard Hitter and A-Dot. Those guys will be helping me out a lot. So this podcast is really gonna be something else, player.
I gotta ask you real quick: are you gonna be singing your own theme music on the podcast?
Well, I don't know. I haven't decided on that yet, but that's a great idea. I could probably come up with something.
Oh, now talking about theme music. That music that you've used this entire time, was originally for Rodney Mack, right?
Well, yeah, the beginning of it is for Rodney Mack when we were doing the Thuggin' and Buggin', the Mack Militant.
Oh, yeah.
And so Vince liked it so well till he wanted to keep it for me, and he picked that music. And I tell you, the funniest thing in the world, I remember one time I was doing a rehearsal and they played the music and I come out, and when I walked out, Vince was out there already doing my dance. So that was great. You know, for him to do your dance, man, you know what I mean? That lets you know, just keep doing that dance.
You made it.
Vince, yes. He's a low-key dancer, though. Like, whenever he gets the chance to start busting a move, he always seems to, you know?
Well, he was in a good mood that day. And so, you know, you always want to catch him in a good mood. If he's in a good mood, you know, he'll have a little fun with you.
That's awesome.
You want to see Vince Boogie? You go to that that Stand Back from the Slammies in the late 80s.
Amazing performance.
Homeboy, he was. That takes balls to dance like that. I'm just going to say that.
Exactly.
Teddy, you shared the ring with everyone under the sun, but the referee is probably the most important part of a wrestling match, because you have to be not seen but heard. You shared the ring with so many people. Do you have a favorite match that you got to referee?
Well, the one that really stood out for me was the one, and I didn't have to referee this whole match, but being a part of it, and I'll give you another one that I had to referee that I like, but being a part of the Chi-Town Heat, the one that I had with Ric Flair and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, you know, I thought that was, you know, one of the, you know, highlights of my career. Also, I had the opportunity to, let's see, which other match? I refereed so many great matches, you know, with the Four Horsemen. Back in the day, you know, all that good stuff. So Basically, all of them was my favorite ones. I didn't have no problem with, you know, doing any of them.
I know you crushed. I know you crushed my soul when you fast counted the Road Warriors against the Varsity Club.
Well,
Clash of the Champions.
Well, you know, it was getting. You know, after I had been riding with Kevin Sullivan and Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, God rest his soul. These guys found out that I could talk. So when they found that out, they would start pushing for me to be a manager. And so that was part of my manager's turn when I fast counted the Road Warriors. So that's what I was getting ready to be that heel manager.
And, so let me ask you this. You have this amazing amount of success. You go from referee to manager, tremendous amount of success. We don't see it for a little while. WWE calls, and forgive me if you guys already talked about this. They bring you back. What were you expecting when you got that call and initially were a referee? Were you okay? Were you just like, hey, I'll do whatever you want? Or was there always some plan that maybe you would be thrusted into this managerial role once again?
Well, no, they never talked to me about that. They just called me in and they just told me they wanted me to be a referee. So my thing is this, you know, I'm going in to get a job, you know, right. So I don't care about, you know, being a referee. You know, a lot of people would maybe let that affect them because they, you know, coming from managing big stars to undertaking all that and then going back to putting the stripes on. But that didn't bother me. So I always look at it like this, you know, in this business, you're always getting tested. So I looked at it as maybe, you know, this is part of my test. If they want me to manage again, I'll manage again. I didn't worry about it. I was just happy to, you know, have a job. I was making good money in the WWF when I went there in 1998. So I had a nice check. So that's all I cared about. And then being a referee, you got a job to do, but it's not like being general manager of the company. You know what I mean? So it's a lot different, but you know, it really didn't bother me whatsoever.
Teddy, I have a question. You worked a lot with The Undertaker, and this might be a ridiculous question. Is he really afraid of cucumbers?
Well, he never showed that around me, but I did hear that story.
Because you throw a if I throw a cucumber at my cat, it'll freak out. It's just the weirdest thing. I don't understand it. There's WWE celebrating 30 years of The Undertaker. What are some of your favorite moments with him?
Well, just all the stuff that we did on TV, you know, where he kidnapped me and he had me in the coffin and all that stuff. And, you know, just that whole storyline that we had with him and CM Punk. And, you know, those were like my favorite moments there. And also, you know, a lot of the stuff when I was managing him and back in WCW when he's Mean Mark Callis. So, you know, everything that I was involved with Taker was always good, man. And he was a nice guy to work with.
He'll come back. He's like hitting a dead spot right now. It'll come back. Teddy, can you hear us? We kind of glitched you out a little bit. You're a little bit of slow motion. Can you hear me? All right, we can't hear Teddy. We're gonna give it a second. It should come back. It was like this at the beginning of the call. It's probably just a dead spot. It'll come back.
Are you guys back?
Yeah, we hear
you.
We hear you. You're just a little bit delayed. We're trying to like see if it clears up. That's all.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I see you now.
Okay, you should be popping up. Yeah, your image is frozen right now. It should come up.
I can hear you. I can hear you now.
Yeah, we got you. It's just a little bit delayed. I'm trying to see if I can help out from this end.
All right, what about now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's much better. Your video hasn't caught up, but we could definitely hear you much better.
It's good that you came on the podcast. Okay. You go work out the kinks before you start your podcast.
That's a good point.
Thank you. Once in a while, I have a good point. I don't ruin spoilers for my friends.
Listen, we've been doing this long enough. Any kind of advice we could pass along to the great Teddy Long, you know, for his show.
Yeah, but the Zoom is all new to us too. Okay. We just started with the Zoom.
We got him. I heard him again. Can you hear us, Teddy?
Yeah. Okay. Well, the real reason, you know, I wanted to come, the one. Well, one of the reasons why.
We are doing so good.
Oh. Let me say this too.
Let me try stopping his video. Oh, here we go. All right, he's moving again. I think we're good. It's getting better.
Technology. 2020 is raining fire down on all of us. All right. Well, we are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We're talking to @Teddy Play Along on the Twitter machine. Make sure you give him a follow. He's got a podcast coming out with a bunch of rappers who I have no idea who they are.
That's a good.
And scene. Oh, we lost Teddy Long. Hung up on us. But he's got a new podcast coming out with a bunch of rappers. He's coming back in. I see him. His name popped up on my screen.
Yes, he's coming back. There he is. Teddy, can you hear us? I think his microphone's... Oh, no, he should be okay. Teddy! Oh, he still looks good.
He looks great. He looks like $1 million. This is all
fantastic.
New to us. It's all new to us. We're still trying to figure out this Zoom stuff. Trust me.
Yo! I didn't hear you.
Yeah, he's back. He didn't go anywhere. We're waiting for you. That's fine. We'll wait all night if we have to. We love talking to Teddy Long.
Yeah, but Teddy Long's a busy man. You think he's got all night to hang out with us?
All right, I'm back.
Awesome. Guess who's back?
So, Teddy, what can people expect from this new podcast with you and your friends?
DJ Tony.
Okay, well, like I said, we're going to certainly be doing a lot of wrestlers coming on the show. And like I said, we're going to be interviewing a lot of people. And not only are we going to be talking to some rappers. So we're going to be doing a lot of stuff. So this podcast is really going to be off the chain.
Awesome. Teddy, just so you know, I just cut your video. It seems like your audio is coming in a lot better without the video going, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We talked about it a little earlier. You said, you know, you had mentioned, you know, the work as general manager working with Vicky Guerrero. I've met Vicky a few times over the years. I'm not, you know, putting over like I'm best friends with her or anything, but she's one of the sweetest people in the business I've ever met. What was it like working with her, you know, going through stories with her, with the general manager role and all that? Talk to us a little bit about Vicky Guerrero.
Well, Vicky Guerrero, what a sweetheart, man. Just enjoyed working with her, you know, and she was just so easy to get along with. And, you know, we would go over a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? And, you know, I would tell her, I said, well, Vic, I tell you, well, why don't we do this? Why don't you do this to me? And then, you know, we can make it better. So, you know, she was just great to work with. And like you say, she's a sweetheart person, man. You would not believe that character on TV if you actually met her in person. So Vicky Guerrero was a great person, great to work with. And she's out in Texas. And you never know, she might show up in SWE.
That'd be awesome.
If we're watching the SWE, Teddy, who's the person to watch for? Who's the young upstart that everyone should have their eyes on?
Well, they should have their eyes on well, he's not so much as the young guy, but to Tim Storm. He's the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and right now he's the SWE Champion. So here's the guy that you need to keep your eyes on. We got a lot of divas coming in. Thunder Rosa, she's going to be part of our show. And as you know, Thunder Rosa owns her own wrestling company, and so we're going to be taking and using a lot of girls that are affiliated with her company. So we're going to have a lot of divas in there and a lot of people to watch for. So we just, you know, kind of, you know, restarting and getting things off the ground. So we got to try to build some of our stars. There are a lot of people that have been there that just haven't been used right. So we're going to use them right, and we're going to build some stars, and SWE will be the next big thing.
And you can watch SWE on the CW network, CW 33 in Dallas, Fort Worth, CW 21 in Baton Rouge, and then CW East Texas. Also, fight.tv is where you can find SWE. So definitely check them out. SWEFury.com is the website. I see Jax Dane is coming in, and I see you guys just completed a bunch of TV tapings. How'd you guys do that with the COVID situation? Did you allow fans in the building?
Well, we did allow fans, but we went by the rules. People had on masks, and we did the social distance. So we kind of went by the rules and did the right thing, and so kept people apart, the 6 feet, and with the mask on. And like I said, if you didn't have a mask, then we had masks right there to sell you that you could put on. So like I said, we just went by the rules and did what we have to do. And so far, you know, we've been safe.
You said you're selling masks. Please tell me there's a Teddy Long mask that we can pick up somewhere.
Well, yeah. Let's see. We sell an SWE Fury mask, you know, that we have. But if you're interested in them, I'll show you right here. Let's see. How about that?
Playa! Oh, I love it.
I got that. And also, let's see here. We may have a... There's one for you here, the player.
Oh, man, it's so awesome.
I love them. Where can we pick those up?
Well, you can pick them up for me. Just get in touch with me right here. Go to my Twitter account and get in touch with me and give me an address or something. And, we'll get them to you.
That's awesome. That is awesome. You see, that's all it takes. You just ask and it's already in production. I love it.
That's right.
I love it.
At Teddy Play Along on the Twitter machine, if you want to get some of those fancy looking masks. Teddy, what have you been doing with yourself during the quarantine? I don't know if you heard us before when we were having the audio problems. You look like $1 million. I mean, I could use whatever you got going on, because I look like a sack of shit. So,
well, you know, I'm a gym rat, man. I stay in the gym. I take care of myself. You know what I mean? And just, you know, try to eat right and do the right thing.
Is there any way for me to not do any of that and look as good as you?
No, if you don't do any of this, you ain't gonna make it.
Come on, player.
Listen, I've tried, Teddy. I keep trying to get him back on that DDP yoga bandwagon, and he does it for about a week, and then he's, oh man, look at this. Yo, he's got abs. What do you got, Matt? What do you got?
I got flabs, son.
Abs and flabs.
You want me to take my shirt? You want me to take my shirt off on this show again?
No.
No, don't do that.
No.
No, don't do that.
Man,
my goodness. We've got play a mask and we've got play his abs. I love it.
Teddy, do you enjoy every now and then, Teddy, you'll pop up on these I guess these Raw reunions, for lack of a better word, or stuff like that, where you get to see, I guess, a lot of people that you haven't seen before. Did you enjoy doing those shows when you were asked to come back?
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course I did, man. It was great, man. And like you said, I got a chance to see a lot of people, you know, that I hadn't seen in a while. And, you know, just seeing that, you know, making sure that they, you know, great to see them real healthy and still alive.
Yeah. I mean, that it sounds terrible to laugh at that, but it's a case of where we are in wrestling. It's just, have you watched any of the Dark Side of the Ring stuff?
Yeah, I watched the one with, I think it was the Von Erichs. I looked at that one. Looked at Don Morocco. That was another one I watched too. The Chris Benoit. I had a chance to watch that one, And what was the promoter? I can't think of his name. You know that
the UWF?
Yeah, Herb Abrams.
Yeah. Herb Abrams. Herb Abrams. Yeah. So I had the chance to watch that one. So all Dark Side of the Ring things I like, you know. So whenever I get a chance to catch them, I like to look at them because they tell the truth.
Was WCW when you were there as dysfunctional as it was when it ended? Or was WCW pretty stable at that point while you were there?
Well, it was pretty stable while I was there. You know what I mean? Because, you know, like I said, I wasn't involved in none of the big major stuff. So, you know, I didn't have to worry about nothing. I just did what I did and just kept on rolling. But like I said, in some parts of it got real dysfunctional. You know what I mean? But, you know, me, I'm no big star, none of that. So I just try to stay away from that and just, you know, just sit and watch it.
No big star. You're in the WWE Hall of Fame. In our eyes, the people
humble.
That listen to this podcast, you're definitely a star. You entertained us for countless years.
Lots of years.
And there's, you know, we can't even begin to thank you.
Well,
we
I
could buy some
like
face
now,
masks.
But what I meant, you know, back, you know, when I was in WCW and stuff, you know, I just didn't consider myself as a big star. So, you know, I just, you know, kind of stayed away from all, you know, the big wigs and stuff and just kind of did my own thing. And you learn in this business is just stay out of the way. Stay out of the line of fire. Keep your mouth shut and keep your ears open.
There you go. Well, we'll definitely be keeping our ears open when your podcast starts. Hold on a minute, playa. When you guys launch this, where can people find it?
Well, that I don't know right now because we're still putting it together, but I'll have all that information out there. It'll be on my Facebook page, my Instagram, and also my Twitter site. So as soon as we get everything done, and we're going to get that started right after November 7th. Right after November 7th, we're doing TV in San Antonio for SWE, and then after that, we're going to go right into start filming the stuff for the podcast. So I will have that information out for you. I know around December, we'll be ready to get it launched and ready to go.
Well, you have to look forward to Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the Teddy Long podcast in the month of December. Teddy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Gentlemen, anything else before we let Mr. Long go? He spent so much time with us. He's been absolutely amazing. We cannot thank you enough for spending some time with the Shining Wizards.
I just
want
to say this too, man. I cannot thank you guys enough too. And like I said, I don't do a lot of podcasts because I had a problem with one guy that he put out stuff, said I said stuff that I didn't say. So that kind of pissed me off. And so I was going to quit doing them. But to come and be with you guys, and I know how professional you are, and I know I can trust you, and I love y'all to death, man. And so anytime y'all need me, man, you know, just let me know. And thank you again for having me on. Thank you so very much.
That's so awesome. And I'm telling you right now, sir, as soon as that podcast drops, it's going right to the top of my list because I want nothing more than to hear Teddy Long stories every day.
And I was just about to say, I would love to have you back on because I got here late and there's so much I could talk to you about. But hey, listen, now we'll just have to listen to Hold On There, Playa. So there you go.
Well, you know what? You know me. I'm easy. And especially for you guys, I'll be willing to do this. By you being late and not showing up on time, I'm going to give you the opportunity to talk to a player again. So we'll set up something so I can come back and talk on the Shining Wizards. And then maybe you will show up for work on time. Let's hope so.
I can't even argue. I'm sorry, boss. I'm sorry, Mr.
at okay. Teddy Play Along on the Twitter machine. Please follow him at SWE Fury TV. Check your local CW listings. And of course, fight.tv. They're doing great things down there. Teddy, it has been an absolute pleasure. Please enjoy the rest of your night, and we will talk to you soon, sir.
Thank you, Teddy. Thanks for joining us, man.
All right. Thank you guys so very much. And if I don't get a chance to talk to you again, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, sir. Thank you so much.
Happy holidays. We will definitely talk, Teddy. We're going to be annoying as shit, so get ready for that.
That's all right. I'm ready for it.
Next time, Kevin shows up on time, and I just start the show without a shirt on.
No, don't do that.
Teddy, be good. Thank you. Have a great
night, Teddy. Thanks again.
All right, take care, guys.
WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. What an amazing, amazing guest. So much fun. Kevin,
he fucking hates you.
Why? What happened?
You were late. He's a stickler, bro. He's a stickler. You're lucky he didn't fine you $1,000 like he did Kurt Angle.
He didn't make you go one-on-one with The Undertaker.
Yeah, put me in a tag team match. Player? Oh, how was he?
You were there. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, but I was in and out. It's been crazy.
I mean, look, apologies for that glitch. Something must have happened with the signal. So I just figured at one point just to cut the video out, and then we were able to get back to it. So we apologize for that. But I think it might have been Teddy's first time doing the Zoom, and I think it actually worked out quite well. So there you go.
Yeah, he asked. When I called him earlier, he thought that the interview was earlier. So when he wanted us to call him at 5:30, he thought that was because the show was at 6.
Oh,
so I talked to him and I was like, "Hey, man, just checking in. I know you wanted us to call you. What can we do for you? This and that." And he was like, "Oh no, I just thought that the thing was at 6 for a second." And I'm like, "All right, then. No, it's at 7." He's like, "Call me just so we get everything set up right and technologically assisted him if he needed it."
I don't want to go off on a tangent, but Teddy said something that we've been hearing quite a bit about. I don't know who these podcasters are that are fucking with legends and fucking with people in the business, but
is it just one or is it?
It seems like periodically we'll get a guest and they're like, you know what? We don't like doing podcasts because so-and-so talks shit about us. And like, you know, we don't need to do this. We do this because we love the business. And then it always comes back to like, you guys are cool. I'm glad I decided to do your show. Cause you guys are professional.
Yeah.
That's happened quite a few times over the years. I understand who fucks with somebody like Teddy Long to put him in that kind of position. You know,
all right, two things. One, it's not easy. It's easy to not be a dick.
Like, yeah,
it's extremely easy just to be a good person and tough, just
says you
enjoy the company of the guests that you have. But two, it's also extremely nerve wracking when we send out these transcripts of interviews to make sure that we get every word right.
Yeah, but I mean, he made it sound like somebody was just talking some shit about him, and that's wrong. Like, look, in all the years we've been doing transcripts, we only had one that we had to do a retraction for, and that was just because we fucking missed like one word. It was the Brodus Clay interview, where like it made it sound like he knew he was getting fired, and that wasn't the case.
Right.
So we issued an apology, but it sounds like people are just like really like just talking shit about like, and Teddy Long's like the fucking nicest guy in the world. I mean.
I couldn't
believe a blast with them.
I think part of it is people are looking for clicks. You know, if you're not Dave Meltzer, if you're not Mike Johnson, yeah. PW Insider and WrestleZone and 411 Mania, like, look, I mean, look, we see it. We've been doing this for almost 9 years now. Any fucking dickhead can do a podcast. I do an extra one on Wednesday nights. But like,
fuck, wait a minute, hold on.
People just look for a fucking clickbait. They put their fucking shit on Twitter. They copy and paste. They steal from other sites. They make shit up. You know, fucking Buff Bagwell was like, oh, I never said I was going back to TNA. And then some other podcast pulled the audio from our podcast where he said he was going back to TNA. So he had fucking egg on his face. People are just fucking dicks. All right, Teddy Long just called me too. That's why I got up and walked away. He just wanted to make sure everything was good.
No, I figured as much.
He's unbelievable. Amazing. Yeah.
Dare I say?
He's got abs better than all three of us.
Dare I say top five?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say top five.
Top five of the new era?
I might. You know what? I have to sit down one day and I'm going to actually fucking go through and put together a top 10 or a top 20. And maybe it'll be like my top 20 and I'll fucking have you idiots try to guess who's on my list.
I actually have to apologize to Tony about one of the topics he had. It's not one that I had before.
It was similar. I agree. It was similar.
It was he had Royal Rumble. I just had WrestleMania main events where the champion didn't. Or the challenger didn't win the belt. It wasn't the same.
No, it wasn't. So, and when I listened back, I agree too. But it was very similar in context.
Yeah, yeah. In the moment, it sounded like something we did before. So
when his,
I wish we would have done it now in hindsight.
When his audio started glitching the last time, and it was like, I couldn't.
I know you fucking lost your shit.
It was so fucking funny.
See, it was like a bad Atari game. Like
when that happened, I thought that it was just my connection that was bad, and he said something hysterically funny that Matt had to lose his shit.
No, Matt, and I felt bad because like I don't know what Teddy's connection is for him because he kept saying he could hear us, so I don't want him to hear fucking cackling ninny over here falling out of his chair laughing his ass.
I'm telling you, people listening to this live on the rant or listening to it in podcast form, if you're not on the hot mic, you got to get on the hot mic.
Yeah, you got to get on the hot mic. Seriously.
The video of Matt getting up and losing his shit was absolutely priceless.
What is Matt playing right now? What are you playing, player? Are you playing Kenny Long?
Playo.
Every so often, there's this low voice that pops in. And it's like, yeah.
I really hope that he sings his own theme song. How awesome would that be?
Is that a thing? What's the point of that?
Well, I don't know. I just figure everybody that's involved in the podcast is involved in music and rapping. Maybe they could hook something up.
I gotcha.
You know? I had first of all, Anthony Rusinello in the Discord, not in the Discord, in the hot mic chat. Apparently, all my AC/DC facts were 100% wrong, Tony. So I'm a fucking moron.
I was agreeing with him, so fucking call me stupid too.
Holy shit, I had something else. Forget it now. Not important.
Well, my top five list today, I kind of spoiled in the question because I didn't have really a question ready, so I had to ask him about the guys he managed. But I'm hoping that your guys' memories are so bad that I could still get this list out without you guys recalling who we talked about in the podcast.
Mark Jindrak, Bobby Walker, Jazz and Rodney Mack, The Undertaker, Bazemian Mark, Danny Spivey.
I'll have to come up with another one during commercial.
I got
break.
Some breaking news here.
Oh shit. Now we're going live to the Shining Wizards newsroom. Here's Matt.
I think MLW has officially jumped the shark.
Oh, with the referee.
Why? Because they signed Buku Dao?
No. Kevin's got it right.
What? Wait. What?
All right. So there's this referee, Tim something.
Tim Storm?
Tim Donahue.
He used to bet on basketball games and would rig them and fix them.
Rig them? So I don't even
for
know.
For the bookies or some shit like that. And MLW signed him to be a ref for MLW.
Okay. So why is that bad?
I
think it's hysterical.
Maybe he'll referee the King Mo matches and they make a little thing out of it.
Fuck King Mo. Just so you know, too, Teddy Long said I could take Bobby Lashley. Teddy Long said I could take King Mo.
Yes.
He also admitted that ECW wasn't ECW, so I don't ever want to hear anything about WWE all right. ECW.
So, all right, so Matt, so to validate your thing, you had the GM of a not... In your eyes, the non-GM of a non-real ECW validated it.
Yes, he was there. He knows.
He was just doing his job, playa.
I'll ask Tommy Dreamer the same question, and he'll say it was ECW.
No, he will fucking not.
Are we getting Tommy Dreamer?
All right, not Tommy Dreamer. I'll ask Shannon Moore. How about that? I'll ask the ECW original Shannon Moore.
I think this is
ask little Guido. He did both, didn't he?
I think this is hacky on MLW's part.
Why? They signed Buku Dao. Why are you fucking focusing on this idiot?
I know. They signed also. They also bring back the big man Paro.
Hey, we didn't. Yeah, I know. I've seen him. And there's another fellow they signed. I can't think of his name. Shit, I forgot what the hell it was. Fuck. With MLW. I can't remember what the fuck it was now. I'll come back to it.
It wasn't important. I don't know. He's not a wrestling referee, but they're going to bring him in because he was an NBA basketball referee. And he was crooked, so he's probably going to side with fucking Contra or Richard Holiday.
Yeah,
it's just
going to
be like
fun
fucking 2020 Danny Davis, and he's going to manage fucking King Mo. King Mo is going to be the fucking world champion.
Wait,
going to be fucking horseshit because King Mo is horseshit. Tell a friend.
I'm out. Hold up. You just talked to Teddy Long and you fucking talked about his memory as a kid where he fast counted the fucking Varsity Club over the Legion of Doom. And now you're going to shit on this guy for fucking doing what was a great moment for your childhood. Come on, dude.
Well, he shit on Teddy Long.
Teddy Long didn't make, wasn't rigging professional basketball games. Okay. He was, you know, fucking sticking it to the Road Warriors. They didn't want to do the job.
Like you never did anything stupid in your youth, right?
I mean, every Monday I do a show, so.
That's right.
Sure, oh, no. Now you got to make us feel bad because you made the Wednesday crew feel bad.
I don't feel bad.
I don't give a fuck either.
Yeah, who gives a shit about the people on Wednesday night? Not me until
Look
Wednesday.
At me. Look at my eyes. They fucking look three times the size as they are when I wear these fucking glasses.
I don't care until Wednesday night, and then I just act like a maniac for 2 hours, so it's fine.
Yeah,
fucking JR, fucking boner pills and fucking putting members of your squad in fucking piss buckets or whatever you fucking talk about. I know. Nights. I know what kind of horse shit and chicanery goes on there. I don't think I'm stupid.
Look, JR is everywhere. I didn't have nothing to do with this, okay? I don't know how he got.
Yeah, her. Yeah, let me piss on you. Her. Sassafras. Her.
I enjoyed the last Wednesday night show.
Oh, the Wednesday night shows are a blast. The Monday night shows are a blast. We got a great thing going. I'm gonna stop doing that because the answers to my trivia questions are on the back of that paper.
And the best was like Matt was like, I love this show. I don't have to do shit.
That's it. I don't.
It was perfect.
I literally laughed out loud at that.
I
sit down, I turn all the gimmicks on, then I watch Anthony get annoyed at me as he tries to do the show. Because Anthony, just like our Anthony, he's a father, he's an adult, he has real life duties. I have three cats and a wife who doesn't give a shit when I come upstairs because I'm not bothering her.
And if you listen to the most recent watch along, Matt also has duties, except it's cat duties on his hand.
Oh yeah, we have to talk about that.
What's to talk about?
So how did you guys we didn't bring this up on the show or
no, because he just recorded it during the week. He recorded.
Did you bring it up on Dynamite post?
No, because I didn't do the recording.
He just recorded it like Friday.
Hey, Tony, can you just let me get to the freaking thing?
Yeah, so I'm helping you along, dude. He didn't record it before Wednesday, so he didn't talk about it on Wednesday.
How does one get cat poop on themselves without stepping in it? Or
he was finger blasting his cat's asshole, Kevin.
Oh, you guys have not. Nelly looks like an ottoman. Okay,
just put your feet on her.
She's very portly. Her legs are short. I don't know if she can clean her butt properly. There have been several situations where we have had to clean her
father like cat.
That's a very fair point, Tony.
Where we have had to clean her butt for her because she gets poop in her.
What's her butt for?
So I guess Friday when I was recording, she used the litter box, and then she jumped up on the table, and I went to pick her up, and I guess some poop came out and got on my hand. And if you listen carefully to the watch along, you can hear the exact moment where it happens. And I will tell you, I sat here for a good 30 seconds with poop on my hand, waiting to find the perfect moment to stop the video and the recording so I could go wash my hand.
Does cat poop smell as bad as dog poop?
Oh, it's fucking rotten.
It's not as bad as cat piss. Cat piss is the worst smelling thing.
Oh, fucking death.
Actually, yeah, I actually know that. I change my neighbor's cat's boxes every now and then.
That's a treat if it's in a box. If your cat pisses on something, it's fucking gross.
All right. So this I just had to hear the story because it was in the text. I'm like, wait a second. Matt got cat poop on his hand?
This has been the Shining Wizards Pet Corner. It'll happen every Monday night at 8:04 p.m. Please tune in. Share pictures with your pets of us. Me, Tony,
followed
Kevin.
Immediately by local news with Tony.
And then we'll get
local
into
news, man.
Local news with T-Donk. So Teddy Long, we talked to him for quite a bit, and you want to follow him on the Twitter machine at Teddy Play Along. That's Teddy Playa Long, and follow him. He's doing great things, and he'll definitely be back on the show 1,000%.
Have you heard his voicemail? Have you heard his voicemail? Like when you call him and what his voicemail says?
No,
it's incredible. It's just his plugs, and then. And then
kind of like Davey Boy Smith Jr.'s fucking cameos.
It's literally just his plugs, and then at the end he's like, talk to you later, player, or something like that.
Like, Kevin, you're gonna win, and I'm gonna win this Saturday at the fucking tournament in Chicago.
Kevin didn't hear that because I cut it off because I was like, this is the worst cameo. Look, I think Davey Boy Smith Jr. is an excellent professional wrestler.
Not much in the promo department.
If anyone needs a mouthpiece, though. And if anyone needs to stop putting eye mascara on his eyelashes, it's Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Telling you, something in that water in Calgary. None of them, other than maybe like TJ Wilson, they're all kind of cuckoo birds.
He's great. His promo, the cameo was atrocious. His cameo, man. I
saw him chase somebody down the street. Like, it was incredible. Like, just for fun, just like to chase him. It was the best.
TJ's a heart by marriage, isn't he? So maybe he's, that's why.
He's a heart. He's not a heart by marriage. Yes, of course he's a heart by marriage, but he's always been a heart. He was in the ring for Stampede. He was there for that.
Yeah, but he's married into the family. He's not a
heart. Yeah, but he doesn't have the cuckoo gene.
He's like Brian Pillman is not a heart, but
right.
Cuckoo Gene is different. I'll give you that.
But again,
that.
Brian Pillman was pretty fucking nuts to begin with, so maybe he had the Cuckoo Gene too. But he was from Cincinnati. He wasn't, you know.
Yeah, and there ain't you know, you eat that fucking nasty chili out in Cincinnati, you go cuckoo because it's not chili. It's fucking. They put it over spaghetti. It's disgusting. You might as well just fucking throw it in the toilet bowl because you're gonna shit your pants. Fucking Cincinnati, the worst place in America.
Well, can we talk about something that's not disgusting?
What do you want to talk about?
Can we talk about more wrestling that happened this week? We could cover AEW Dynamite and all the AEW stuff. We could talk about what happened for the draft and all the fixins. And we could talk about maybe a little United Wrestling Network. We could talk about all that stuff. But Kevin, before we talk about that, what can we do?
Oh man, already. All right, yeah. Back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. The more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown, your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
It is now time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast from our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardpodcast. If you want to become a Patreon producer, head over to shiningwizards.com or patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And for as little as $1 a month, you can become a supporter of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. $3 a month gets your name mentioned and you get our monthly watch-along. As you heard before, I got cat poop on my hand while I was recording the watch-along for Halloween Havoc 1993. Cactus Jack, Big Van Vader, Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. And that's available exclusively to our Patreon producers at the $3 tier. As you go up in tiers, you get more perks. The $5 tier, we plug your stuff on the show, as well as you get the watch along and we plug you, not in a sick, twisted way. $10, you get a small box of wizardry. Anything above $15, you get a bigger box of wizardry. And I will just tell you this now. I just got a crate. Not a crate. I got an order from Pro Wrestling Tees, and it was full of goodies just for the Patreon producers. So go over to patreon.com/wizardpodcast and sign up and support your boys, the Shining Wizards. We're going to start with the Queen of the Shining Wizards, Kathy Hummer. Not to be outdone by the King of the Shining Wizards, Mr. Manny Carrazzo, all the way over there in Dusseldorf, wherever the fuck he's from. Hungary? Where's he from?
I'm hungry.
Obviously. Where's he from?
I believe it's Slytherin.
He's in the House of Slytherin.
Right? That's a good one, right?
That is a good one. No, that's a bad one, but it's good
What's the equivalent?
No, it's good to be bad.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point.
We relate to Slytherin.
He's a heel!
He is a heel. Not so much. Crosso's a good guy. He's a nurse, I think. A male nurse, yeah. What? He's just a nurse. He's like the nurse on the Wednesday night show. He's not a doctor. He's a fucking nurse.
He pulls out his pecker and goes, take two of these and call me in the morning, eh?
All right, Tony. He's not stopping by.
He's not a snake. He doesn't have two peckers.
I'm a snake.
Anthony and Danny Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. Ryan Arthur over at elementarybrewery.com. If you're in the Bergen County area, check out elementary.com and stop by their Hackensack location. They hosted us for our eight-year anniversary show. Great people, great brew. Support your local businesses. Sean Toe and Sean Callejo, the only thing that joins them together is their name. Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Kate the Great Hensler over at
You got shit to plug? You go to ondeckic.com. You go, Kate, please plug my shit. She goes, let me see what kind of shit you got. You could show her the nastiest, greasiest, fucking sloppiest shit. And she'd be like, you know what? We got something just for you. We're going to shine this shit. We're going to fix this shit. We're going to promote this shit. And we're going to sell this shit. Go over to On Deck IC. Tell them Tony sent you. And Kate's going to fucking hook your ass up. For a fee, of course.
Matt Garifo, no relationship with KJG. Christine Friesendorf. Mark Parloni. Mark, happy birthday. Glad you listen every week. Appreciate the support. He doesn't listen. Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinks More. Tearing it up in the Discord.
I can't hear you at all.
Who?
You there?
Yeah, why?
I can't hear myself either. What the fuck?
I can hear you, unfortunately. Kenny Hawsey and the Scotch, he's the Scotch Drink More. He's tearing it up in the Discord. There's a link on our Twitter account at Wizards Podcast to the Discord. You want to join that, jump in. Tons of conversations. He's killing it with the Joshi conversation. Jay Kopp, the big Kopp of Pump, the only person worthy of supporting from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Not that fat, hot dog, sausage-fingered Phil Rea, who doesn't have a fucking dollar to support his friends. Or the gypsy Choppy with his fucking no socks. So glad there's COVID. We don't have to do a goddamn Christmas show with them this year. To see their fucking grossness. Check them out over at the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. They do a good show. They're just shitty people. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock, Ja 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 Ja, I don't understand. Michael Hammond, David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, TJ Vegas, and last but not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, Kevin. You know what else I know about?
What's that?
The manscaping. Manscaped.com. You want to support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, you go over to manscaped.com. It's the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for family jewels. They obsess over the technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. You take the 3.0. It's got fucking, I don't know, 7,000 RPMs, right? Fucking 90 minute. You charge it once. You charge the battery life full. Boom, full battery, right? You got your iPhone. You charge that. It lasts like whatever. You're fucking dicking around all day. You got to trim your balls. Shit's charged for 90 minutes it lasts. If it takes you 90 minutes to trim your balls, that shit better look like, I don't know, some fancy person's front lawn with some tree that looks like a zebra, all right?
Oh, yeah.
But if you can do that to your balls, Manscaped is the company that's going to help you do it.
Can I tell you my experience from over the weekend?
You have an experience? Tony, please, enlighten the fans.
These fucking headphones. Hold on.
You know, you are like the guy with all the equipment and you're using some shitty Apple Steve Jobs fucking iPhone headphones. What's wrong with you?
Hand job headphones. I like these headphones. They're fucking great.
All right. So tell us about your ball experience.
I took the lawnmower 3.0 into the shower. Ooh. And I turned the lights off and I was able to shave everything up and down and all around thanks to that fucking awesome LED on there. And I shaved for 87 minutes, and that fucker was still going. So there you go.
That's right. Look at that. You're like a, it was like a rave in your shower just for you.
I'm happy you didn't turn out like Draws for showering in the dark. Who fucking showers in the dark so they can shave their balls?
I want them to put it to the test, bro. Listen, we show this shit every week. I want to let people know that that fucking LED is just not a gimmick. It's a fucking lifesaver.
Yeah, but you don't have to get in the shower to do it. You just turn all your lights off in the bathroom and stand outside the tub with the newspaper they sent you.
So Tony, you would say it's a lifesaver for your lightsaber.
Good point, Kevin. Good point. I would say that unequivocally, 100%. E to B to B.
Look at that. Man, there's going to be a new hit single to Dancing in the Dark. It's going to be called Tony Shaving in the Dark. What was your power out? Like.
No, but Kevin, it's battle tested. So if my power did go out while I was in the shower, I'd be good to go.
You know what? That's a great point, Tony, because lots of times when the power goes out and you're with your significant other, what else are you going to do but, you know, set the mood and get a little romantic. So why not shave in the dark then and then get right to it with
jump right in.
That's it.
And you know what? If you're bringing a lady over for the first time, maybe she's on the fence. She goes in your bathroom to freshen up. She looks to the left. There, on your vanity. Right on the vanity.
Paper full of hair on the floor.
No, Kevin. You don't leave the evidence. Right there on the vanity is the sleek Doc. And she says, oh, man, this dude used Manscaped on his balls. He used the 3.0. I'm putting them babies in my mouth tonight, son. She comes out of that bathroom. Ready to go.
It's like doing its docking.
That's it. So head over to manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping when you use the code word wizards.
Nerds.
It's so easy. It's so simple. The holidays are coming up. You're probably going to have to travel to your fucking in-laws' place. You don't want to go there with nasty balls. All right. God knows what they do. They don't knock on they just walk in the bathroom. They fucking come in. They check on you while you're sleeping because they're weird. Your balls are hanging out of your shorts.
That's right.
Just make sure they're clean. You put your Manscaped in the bag, the carrying case. You're good to go. You shave your balls.
Can I do a brand new commercial for Manscaped that I just thought of right now?
Right, this is Kevin, Tony, timestamp, 1 hour, 27 minutes, 50 seconds. This is what we send to the Manscaped people. Go, Kevin.
All right. It was just really a tagline, but now I have to work on it. Manscaped. Take care of your balls. After all, they are in her court.
There we go.
That's a double.
Your balls are in her court. Manscaped.
Yeah, put you in scoring position. It's good. It's good. All right,
I'll take
base.
It. I literally thought that was a whiff. But the reaction that I got there, your balls are in her court. Take care of your balls. After all, they're in her court. Manscaped.
I love it. I'm in.
All right.
There you go.
Not bad.
You know what Tony's into?
Oh, yeah.
Tony's all in on the UWN.
Ooh, yes, I am.
Oh, boy.
You're going to have to let me know what happened, T-Donk. I am out of the loop this week.
UWN
knows. I am pulling up my results.
There we go. Well, while you pull up the results, Mr. Dave Marquez made an excellent announcement last Tuesday night. There will be an 8-man tournament to crown the first ever United Wrestling Network World Champion, and the field of competition will be announced tomorrow night on the UWN primetime series, which can be found at fight.tv.
A lot of people petitioning to be in this bad boy on the old social media. Guys like Max Caster want in.
Max Caster is going to be on the show next week. He's taking on the one called Manders. So Max Caster's coming back after that heartbreaking loss to Mr. Chris Dickinson, the Dirty Daddy. I do have the results. Let me see. So Fred Rozier was supposed to take on Chris Masters in a one-on-one match, but the Cowboy, James Storm, made his return, and it became a three-way dance, and it was a great fucking match. Fred Rozier pulls out the win, by the way, but very great stuff. One of my new favorites on the women's side, Heather Monroe, the Crazy Bay, what do they call her?
Are you doing that thing where you pulled up the results again and you can't see the camera?
Yeah.
Because his name is Fred Rozier. Not Fred Rozier, you fucking asshole.
R-O-S-S-E-R.
It's Darren Young. Rozier.
Darren Young. That I can pronounce.
It's Fred Rozier. Even I usually marble mouth Matt, fucking stumbles and tumbles all over my words. It's Fred Rozier.
It's and Heather Monroe is the base there is, the base there was, the base there ever will be.
How dare you. We'll
invite her over for Christmas. She's going to give you the turkey baster.
Gross. What is the you know what? I'm not even playing in.
Yeah, don't even. This isn't worth it.
All right, what? It was supposed to be Tony Fred Rozier against Chris Masters, but who showed up? I completely whiffed on your conversation because I was waving my arms like an idiot to get your attention.
It was the Cowboy James Storm,
the guy who was supposed to go to the WWE after WrestleMania.
Yep, that guy. So, right. they had a great three-way match. Dude, Clark Connors, Danny Limelight opened the show. They had a rematch from the fucking whatever it was they did for New Japan, the Young Bucks tournament.
Strong. The Lion's Crown tournament.
There you go, the Lion's Crown. There you go. Yo, these two guys together fucking tore it up. This was an amazing opener. Can I just tell you right off the bat, technical glitches. For some reason, the opening was just the UWN logo, and it was like all the interviews, but you just saw the logo. And then these guys came to the ring, and you just saw the logo. And even Fight TV was like in the chat room, and they were like, "We're working on it. It'll be up soon. Don't worry." And then, sure enough, it was up, and that was the only snafu for this one. So things went well.
All right. Did you have a favorite match of the night? I know the Meat Castle was involved. I know Dan Joseph retained his United TV Championship belt.
Yes. Dan Joseph, I told you guys to make sure you check him out. He's fucking talented as shit. He's a fucking great wrestler. I'm trying to figure out who the fuck he wrestled. I forget what the fuck
he wrestled.
Name was.
Dom Kubrick.
Yes. Little Slopsky. Slopsky. Couple of spots where I was kind of like, like there was one, you know, like when somebody calls a clothesline and then both guys duck and there's like a little do-si-do kind of action.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of happened when he was getting fired up. So he wound up not getting clotheslined or some nonsense. Yeah, so there was a couple of snafus, but overall good match. I'm excited. And I actually did a little research about the United Wrestling Network's World Championship.
Oh, did you now?
Apparently. Dave Marquez has been trying to introduce his belt since like 2015, but every time they're getting ready to put it on somebody, that person gets signed away from another company, like to another company. So like it winds up going like back into like the shadows. So this is the first time they're actually like, okay, we're pulling the trigger on it now. So there you go. And the belt is beautiful. The belt is fucking beautiful. The two side plates, one of them is an image of Ric Flair and Harley Race. And the other one is Colt Cabana and Adam Pearce, both from matches, like representing like, I don't know why they would choose the NWA, but I get it because they were like world championship matches, one show in an older era and one show in a more modern era. So I think it's cool as shit. And it's got all like the little flags on top. Good fucking stuff. It looks like a championship belt that means something.
Do you think the inevitable is going to happen? The winner of this will challenge Nick Aldis? like, I am the United Wrestling Network champion and you are the NWA champion, and these belts both signify what we believe in, what we wake up every morning for, what we shave our balls for, manscaped.com, code word wizards. Hopefully Jeff Cobb takes my advice and he checks it out. You think that's inevitable? And who are we going to put in this field? You're going to put Fred Rosie in it? What do you call him? Fred Roaster? What'd you call him?
Yes, Fred Roster should be in the field. I think, honestly, if it comes down to it, I think Chris Dickinson is going to fucking run the field. If he
You think so? What about Michael Bennett?
Michael Bennett's making his return this Tuesday, tomorrow night. They haven't said who he's, like, if he's wrestling or what he's doing.
He's wrestling Mr. J.R. Kratos.
Oh, they announced it. Okay, well, there you go.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Kratso.
Maybe that's it.
I'm going to speak out of turn and someone will correct me. I think he's a California dude, big, bald, jack dude.
That's it. That's exactly who it is. Okay, there you go.
You know, you do know who I'm talking about? You're not being facetious?
No, I 100% know who it is, because I'm pretty sure that we're friends with him on Facebook and he follows the Wizards page and stuff.
So we've got two main events coming up for championships. Tomorrow night, Zicky Dice defends the NWA Television Championship against the Pope.
Fuck that guy.
8 days from now, it's a fucking rematch from AEW. Thunder Rosa defends the NWA Women's Championship against Serena Deeb. Good shit.
I hope Zicky Dice puts the Pope in his place. That's all I have to say.
I hope
about
he does too, because I'd be really fucking sad if Zicky Dice wound up losing the title to this fool. I got to tell you though, they built it up quickly, but they built it well. We covered that match, last week, 2 weeks ago? Not crazy about the match itself, but the storytelling was there. So kudos to those guys. And that's your UWN update for the week. I'm sorry I was ignoring your fucking beautiful face on the camera, but you know.
Kevin.
Yo,
let me ask you a question, right?
All right,
because you're big. This is one of your, I guess it's one of your pet peeves, right?
What's that?
You don't have time to watch a show, you're like, oh, please don't spoil it for me, right? And I talked to Teddy Long about this before you joined us, right? So what is my like?
I spoiled the G1 climax to Matt. Let me get to the point. That's it.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Sorry,
I agree, well, Kevin.
That's like the one thing that Matt like. He'll watch other wrestling, but the one thing that Matt truly cares about is New Japan.
Yeah, but you're the only one that gives a shit about spoilers, and you don't fucking want to hear spoilers from fucking Raw or anything like that. Matt doesn't usually give a shit about spoilers.
Now.
Yeah, but it's the one thing that, it's like the one thing to me that would be off limits to tell him.
I told him weeks ago Ibushi was going to win, so there you go.
And this is the first time you've texted me about the G1.
Because I was excited. Ibushi's a back-to-back winner. First, you know what I need for Christmas? I got the G1 Climax 29th shirt.
Now he's making demands here.
I'm going to need the 30th shirt for Christmas. What? Wait,
Tony, I don't think Matt is trying to vent something pretty serious and what sounds to be pretty intense right now. So I think the last thing people care about is something you got for Christmas.
No. He wants, Kevin. Now he's throwing out demands. Now he wants things. Not only did he spoil the G1 final for me, the only thing I was looking forward to last night, sitting down on my couch in my lazy boy chair, I put the fire on, I got the cat with me. It's like everything that makes me happy.
Exactly.
And then fucking dickbag over here. Fucking.
No, you had it right. Dickbeat. It's Deadbeat and Dickbag combined.
Right. Also, we'll be on the cover of Team Beat next week. ruins it for early in the morning too.
Yeah, Tony, you gotta be better than that. Listen, I love you, T Donk, I love you.
Break in my heart. He took my fragile black heart, and he smashed it into a million pieces.
Like, I don't care enough about like one company to be super upset if something gets spoiled for me. Yeah, I'll be pissed off, but I'll get over it. But spoiling G1, spoiling New Japan for Matt, Tony, you got to be better than that. I'm sorry, dude. You just do. Right?
He's gone. He punched out. He left. There's a whole Discord for it. You know, there's an option in the Discord where you could put a spoiler and then black it out. So if you don't want to see it, you don't click on it.
Did he really leave? He didn't really leave.
No, who gives a fuck what he did? He probably went upstairs to beat the shit out of his kid. What are you doing over there, you fucking loser? No, he pissed me off. He fucking texted me early in the morning. He knew I was working. He knew I was going to check my phone. Ruined the goddamn G1 fucking climax for me. I didn't even watch it. I didn't even watch the match, Kevin, because I know who won.
that just goes to show you how, I mean, to quote our dear friend Zicky Dice, that's how outlandish this move was.
All right, maybe I lied a little. I did watch the match today, but...
Oh, see, I would have rolled with that.
It upset me because the match was excellent. Ibushi and Sonata. Fuck Ibushi. This pisses me off. I hope Jay White. Oh, he's back. Look, he's back. Tony's back. Guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen at Power Struggle, Tony?
I love you, Tony.
No, you don't. Don't fucking lie to him.
I know, I do. I think Tony could do no wrong all the time.
That's a fucking lie, too.
No, that's true. This is... And we'll get off it. This is the last thing I'm going to say. This move was beneath you. That's all I'm going to say because I hold you up to this high standard. You're on like the first rung, bro. But I love you.
That far, huh?
Yeah. If you spoil something for me, I'm not going to remember it anyway. So it's okay. Like you spoil something for Matt, like especially New Japan.
Dagger in the heart, baby. Dagger in the heart. Guess what, Tony? Your little fuckboy Ibushi, he's going down at Power Struggle.
No, he's not. Fuck Jay White. Jay White ain't winning shit.
He's taking the briefcase from him. He's going to turn inside. He's going to jam it up his fucking fuckboy ass. And then
you
can
go
back.
Jam up your ass to fucking Yano Trophy, okay?
No. Ibushi can go back to fucking DDT Pro. He can wrestle fucking Pool Cues or whatever other dumb shit he was doing over there. He's
fuck
out
you,
of here.
Your favorite fucking Wednesday night promotion based themselves around a fucking guy that danced with a fucking 9-year-old girl and a fucking blow-up doll, dude.
Hold on.
Don't shit about
him. Did he also wrestle a broom? Was that a real thing? Was that him? Am I making that up?
No. He also won the G1 and he was the IWGP heavyweight champion. Something Ibushi will never be. He'll never be
Never. Ibushi double champion at the end by January.
All right, let's take a bet. Will Ibushi be whatever... good thing you guys said he will, or will he be back in 205 Live first?
First of all, I never said he was any good thing, okay? He's a fuckboy.
Then that was Tony, then.
What? What's the concerned look on your face for, Tony? He's a fuckboy. Enjoy your fuckboy.
I think it's the glasses, man, that makes him look way more serious than he is.
He's losing.
Really magnifies
his losing.
Eyes.
At Power Struggle, he's losing to Jay White. Go fuck your hand.
All right. If he winds up winning Wrestle Kingdom... 15. In 2 days, and he walks away as champion, we're not doing fucking picks next year.
This sounds like a wager, but I'm not agreeing to that.
What?
So
about picks.
I'm done with picks.
So we got to do picks, Tony.
On.
It's our lifeblood.
No, it's not.
No, Kevin, we could do picks with that. We could fucking find a substitute to do picks. We could have somebody.
Find somebody over Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Remember, we were supposed to do that shit?
Kevin, we could find somebody to make picks for Tony, and they could do whatever they want. They could make shitty picks where he goes fucking. Ooh. And then every week we come on and we say, Tony went 0-7 this week.
No.
So you want to.
They'll say the picks in that voice. No. I like Kota Ibushi. No.
You know what's going to happen at the end of the year?
What?
You know what's going to happen? You know what I'm going to say? A one!
Absolutely. I'll make a side wager with you.
Oh, I like where this is going. Witness.
We got to think of it. Boys. It's just me and you. I don't think Ibushi's walking out of Wrestle Kingdom with nothing but a big fat L on his head. You want to know why, Tony? Because he's a fucking loser. Yeah, keep hitting the sound buttons, you fucking dickhead.
Hey, I didn't fucking play any sounds over the past, like, fucking 2 months. And
I know.
You
must be having
a
real fucking hard time.
Fucking dickhead.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep mashing the buttons, you fucking hand job.
Hey, Matt.
What?
Nuts.
Yeah, these nuts your ass.
These nuts.
They're nice and clean, thanks to Manscaped.
Yeah.
Play something else, Tony. What else you got?
One!
Don't encourage him, Kevin. What's wrong with you?
Listen, Matt, I'm on your side, but I love drops.
Ligamables.
That's what she's saying. Actually, you'll be saying that to her.
Ligamables.
I love the big package.
And your package will look a lot bigger when you get Manscaped, right?
Hey. Ho, ho. This penis party's got to go.
This penis party's got to go right to Matt's house because they're all going to be clean shaven just the way he likes them. Nom, 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 nom.
As long as you're using the code word wizards, I don't care.
20%
off. Shout out to the Wednesday night crew for one person using the code and for one person maybe using the code.
Well, actually, two people on the Wednesday night show use the code.
Yes.
Did we get confirmation on the second?
Oh, no. The second one is not who you think it is.
Kate?
Yeah.
Kevin doesn't listen.
Kate used the code.
KTG.
Ah!
Yeah, I'll throw it out there. I'll throw it out there. I'll throw a business out there.
No, that's all right.
Congrats on the sex.
I have a small.
No, you stop, man. Just get out of my brain. All right. There's some New Japan Pro Wrestling to talk about. Not only did your fuckboy win the G1, but fucking dickhead Okada got what was coming to him, and fucking Will Ospreay turned on him and beat the piss out of him, and now he's formed an alliance with the great Okan.
Who? Okan? Who is this Okan?
Great Okan.
I've never heard of this guy. Who is he?
He's the great
is
Okan.
That Wano?
No, he's the great Okan.
Where the fuck did he come from?
Okanada.
I was going to go with Shaka Khan. Matt's playing music.
No, I'm not playing music. I'm giving you the information on the great Okan. All right, he was a young boy.
Okanada.
He was a young lion. His real name is...
Gabriel Kidd.
Tomoyuki Oka. All right, he went on excursion. Now he came back, and he's modified his ring name to the great Okan. Him, Will Ospreay, and Bea Priestley are now a new faction called the Empire.
All right.
And you hear it calling Empire.
All right, no easy, Queensryche. Easy, Queensryche.
No Queensryche fans?
No, I like Queensryche. So that was pretty wild because Will Ospreay turning heel and eventually feuding with Okada is going to be pretty awesome. They announced that Wrestle Kingdom will be two nights again, Wrestle Kingdom 15. So that's going on. Power Struggle is the next big show, Saturday, November 7th.
Matt, breaking news, Matt.
Yes, hit me.
Wrestle Kingdom will actually be three nights, but the third night will just be Tony spoiling everything for you.
Sounds about right, buddy. Sounds about right.
Breaking news.
Here's something super interesting with your boy, Tanahashi, Tony.
What's that?
Tanahashi said he's done everything in his professional wrestling career. He now wants to go after the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship held by the AEW World Heavyweight Champion, John Moxley. And if you recall, 30 years of Jericho, the only New Japan Pro Wrestling star to make an appearance, Hiroshi Tanahashi. So, at Power Struggle, Tanahashi is going to challenge Kenta for his IWGP United States shot. So
I'm surprised they still kept the United States Championship on Moxley.
Well, I mean, you haven't been able to, you've just started to get people in and out of Japan, so why strip him? It's not like he didn't want to go there.
Yeah, but they stripped him last time when he couldn't go.
Yes, they did. I think this time he's more high profile, and I think this time there may be a working relationship with AEW in the works.
Oh.
Now, I may be just being an AEW fuckboy, an AEW mark, whatever you want to call me, a New Japan mark.
Sounds about right.
And I have high hopes, but I don't know. Tanahashi, what are you eating? Cheez-Its snapped?
They're the new Cheez-Its snapped. They're very tasty, and they're light and airy.
Nice. So that's happening. It's Power Struggle. Naito takes on Evil again. This fucking chapter is never ending. Yeah. So hopefully we get Naito and Jay White at Wrestle Kingdom, because Ibushi's going to lose to Fuckboy. And we can pick those matches November 7th if you want to do some picks.
Oh, can we?
We can.
I'm in. I'm in.
Okada,
pick, baby.
Okada takes on the great Okan. Minoru Suzuki defends the Never Openweight Championship against Shingo, and everyone's favorite King of Pro Wrestling title is on the line as Toriano takes on Zack Sabre Jr. And this is all happening at Power Struggle. These are the only six matches. They're keeping it very short. So that is November 7th. That's something we have some to look forward to. Maybe Tony can ruin that for me too.
Zack Sabre and Tai Chi are still the tag champs, right?
They are. They are the IWGP.
Singing with the fake microphone.
What is your problem with Tai Chi now?
I hate Tai Chi.
Why?
I hate Tai Chi. I hate Kung Fu. I hate a lot of them. Fucking
you know, the talk is going to be Tai Chi and Zack Sabre Jr. against Toriano and Big Tom for the IWGP heavyweight titles. That's the next feud.
I'm okay with that. Toriano I could take in small doses, though.
Yeah, he could be a bit much. Kevin, you watched some Impact Pro Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
We are on the final stretch to Bound for Glory. That takes place this Saturday night, which is pretty exciting. But last week, we had a full action-packed show. Give me your highlights from Impact, sir.
Well, you had a great 10-man tag team match towards the end of the night. where the winning team of five would now go into a multi-person match where the winner of that match will be number 20 in the Call Your Shot gauntlet match. And the winner of that presumably will be Heath, but Heath got the win there. So Heath is rolling. He wants Heath for Impact to be trending, baby. So get that hashtag trending. Brian Myers and Tommy Dreamer, of course, continue their little antics in that match. Lots of good stuff. Follow Bob and Crazy Steve entangled in the battle of the best man for Johnny Bravo's wedding. Follow Bob also has Hernandez's cash roll that he's been hiding. So Follow Bob is getting into some mischief on the Impact. Let's see what else. Taya Valkyrie and Rosemary are just continuing to be great. And then you had that big time brawl between Madman Fulton and Big Doc Gallows. So Gallows defeated Fulton. And they had what do you expect from a Gallows Fulton match? Just fucking ass beaten all the time. Scott D'Amore's on TV a lot again.
He's your man, Scott D'Amore.
I'm a big Scott D'Amore guy. I don't know if this is like a character they're trying to do. I could use a little less of him on TV. Especially always carrying around this like one sheet of paper that I have no idea what's on it. It's weird. It's not like a notebook. It's not like a clipboard. It's just like a sheet of paper rolled up. I guess it's the run sheet, I guess, would be the simple answer. But Impact continues to go great. Bound for Glory coming up this Saturday, which I'll probably be watching. I know WrestlePro is this Saturday, but I probably will not be in attendance. So I will be watching Bound for Glory, most likely.
Bound for Glory is loaded. And I think the card is set. Now, we don't have to make our picks yet. We can wait until after tomorrow's show airs on Axis and Twitch TV, but I'm just going to run down the card for you gentlemen. Your main event is Eric Young defending the TNA World Heavyweight Championship against Rich Swann. Deonna Purrazza defends the Knockout Championship against Kylie Rae. There's a four-way tag team match for the Impact Championships as the Motor City Machine Guns defend against the Good Brothers, the North.
That's the most exciting thing about Impact. And I can't remember what they did with Eric Young and Rich this past week. I'm sorry. But the tag stuff they've been doing has been the best thing on the show. All four teams have been bringing it. The North has been bringing it. Fulton and Ace have been – everyone's been bringing it. It's been great.
I believe the end of Impact saw Eric Young hijack the show, demanding answers about his Bound for Glory match.
Oh, I think you're right. But I think also the world, like the Yankees, may have still been involved. They may have been back and forth. So.
All right, fair enough.
But no, I'm excited for Bound for. I'm telling you, it's my favorite stuff. That's not bullshit. Just because Brian is there, it's real. It's my favorite show.
Last week's guest will defend his X Division Championship in a six-way scramble match with Chris Bay, Jordan Grace, TJP, Trey, Willie Mack, and of course Rohit Raju. EC3 takes on Moose. Eddie Edwards takes on Ken Shamrock, and the Call Your Shot gauntlet match. This all takes place Saturday. Bound for Glory, Impact Wrestling.
Loaded.
I highly suggest you check it out. We will talk about that in detail next week too, because I plan on watching it at some point next weekend. Side note: New Japan Strong was excellent this week. If you're not watching New Japan Strong on New Japan World, I highly recommend it. Great action, a lot of names you're familiar with, especially if you're a fan of like GCW. Alex Zane was part of this. Mysterioso, Danny Limelight on the UWN. Highly recommend checking out NJPW Strong. We all watched AEW Wednesday night, no?
Oh, yeah.
It was the one-year anniversary, and we celebrated it by having all the titles on the line. Tony, as always, I defer to you because you're usually very high on the AEW Dynamite train. So tell us your thoughts on AEW Dynamite one-year anniversary show.
You really wanted me to join in on Wednesday, too, and I felt bad. I just didn't have the time to do it. But, oh, boy, was I fired up.
You were very much full of piss and vinegar. Where would you like to start, sir?
Opening match. Fantastic. FTR and the fucking best friends.
Okay.
Great match. However, why is this fucking jack-off playing a video game fucking arcade machine at ringside?
Why not?
Really? Why not? Really?
Because it fits his character. He doesn't care what's going on in the ring because he's not in the ring.
He's a douchebag. And the fucking staff at Daly's Place are fucking idiots for letting this fucking jack off have an arcade machine at ringside when there's supposed to be social distancing. And if you're at ringside, pay attention to what's fucking going on in the ring. If some fucking fan did that, you'd be all over his ass going, look at this jerk off in the front row. Fucking got this ticket. He's not even fucking paying attention, looking at his phone, pretending he's on TV, holding up signs. This guy's a real dick. In the meantime, this guy's playing video game going, oh, that's what he does. Oh, well, fuck him. Fuck his video game. Fuck Miro for this fucking waste of a fucking feud and this waste of Miro. Miro's supposed to be a big fucking star, and they stick him with this jackass, and now they're going to feud with the best friends? No, it's stupid, dude.
Whoever said Miro's supposed to be this big fucking star? Who said that? Who said that?
So Miro's going to be in a fucking worse position than he was in WWE? No offense, but if I'm Miro, I'd want some fucking big black dude to take my wife away from me, too. That's a fucking more compelling story than this bullshit.
Okay.
Oh, he broke my game. Go get my friend. Where? Fuck off to all of them.
Okay. Hold on. Relax first.
No, there's no holding on and relax.
Hold on. The whole Paul Orndorff Hulk Hogan feud was because he didn't answer the fucking phone. So relax, okay?
Yeah. He didn't have a fucking phone at ringside fucking talking to people on and not talking to the Hulkster.
So you don't think it's petty that Paul Orndorff got his butt hurt because Hulk Hogan didn't pick up the phone?
Chris Jericho spilled coffee on Kane in the backstage area. That's more of a fucking reason to want to beat the shit out of somebody than bringing a fucking video game machine to ringside, which was poorly built, I might add. I don't know about you, but I've been thrown into an arcade machine or two myself. They don't fucking break that easily, dude. Sorry.
Okay.
Nazi nods.
Okay, on to the next question for you. You have the AEW book. We've just come out of the one-year anniversary show. How are you booking Miro?
How am I booking him?
Why? Don't answer my question with a fucking question, hand job.
I got to think about it, jerk off.
Oh, I thought you had this magic plan in your head because Miro's supposed to be this giant superstar and he should be thrust right into the limelight and be the face of AEW.
You know what? If they're going to fucking, I would make him a face and I would give him some fucking shit for Brian Cage. I would let him fucking step up and go, you know what, dude, you're a big douchebag. You have a fake belt. I'm going to beat your ass. There you go.
So your idea to make Miro a big star is to put him with Brian Cage.
And beat the fuck out of Brian Cage and take his fucking fake belt and throw it off the fucking bridge outside of Daly's Place, wherever the fucking nearest bridge is. Because fuck Brian Cage and fuck his fake belt.
Okay, so he beats Brian Cage for the fake belt. Now what? Yeah.
What do you mean now what? It's got to fucking write itself. And you know what? Then he fucking goes after Cody Rhodes and goes, I don't even want your belt because your belt's fucking meaningless. I'm going to beat the shit out of you next.
So you just explained
Cody,
to me,
Cody fucking Rhodes, who can fucking beat that big goofball that's in charge of the fucking Dark Order, but he goes to a fucking time limit. You know why he went to a time limit draw? This fucking idiot was doing this shit for fucking 10 minutes with the fucking fake kicks. If I was Cody, I would have kicked him in the dick at the fucking beginning of the thing and either beat him with a dick kick or fucking got disqualified and said, fuck this jack off. He doesn't deserve a title match. Darby Allin up too. Fucking Darby Allin. Oh, why are they showing Darby Allin so much? I don't know. I thought we were showing Greg Valentine like we did last week. Oh, because all of a sudden Darby Allin gets a title match and then they announce Orange Cassidy's getting another title match in 2 fucking weeks. What are we doing?
So you're very fired
he
up.
He gets a fucking another title match because he couldn't beat the champ in 20 minutes? What kind of shit is that?
Now,
Tony, go have an ice cream bar. Relax.
You're all over the place here. You're all fired up. Now, look, if you go back to some WCW TV title matches, time limit draw gets you a rematch. I don't like it. I'm with you, Tony. Wait.
NWA, time limit draw gets you a win for the Lucky 7 to challenge for the world championship. You forgot about that, didn't you? I didn't.
I don't think I ever knew it.
Yeah, you did, because Ricky Starks had 2 wins, and then he lost to Zicky Dice, and they fucking put the big X on the thing.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, NWA from, like, the 80s.
Fucking Power.
Power.
Miss that show.
Look, I don't, I'm very, like, indifferent about Orange Cassidy right now.
20 minutes, because he was fucking kicking him in the shins for 3 minutes at the beginning of the match.
I'm with you. Look,
the fucking machine. They're booking him as a machine. He could take a licking and keep on ticking. And he couldn't fucking kick out of the mousetrap. Kudos to fucking Orange Cassidy for finally putting that shit on correctly, I might add. But other than that, come on, dude. Come on.
Okay, so let's unpack this all now. So you hate Miro and Kip being in a tag team because
the whole fucking story. I think it's a waste of Miro.
Because
but what about elevating Kip?
Fuck Kip. Kip sucks. Sorry. The best thing about Kip is fucking Penelope Ford. That's the best thing. And she had an amazing match against Sheeta, and she hasn't fucking wrestled since. She made her and Sheeta look fucking great together. And now Sheeta's fucking, oh boy, we'll get into that one later.
Just but, go, Jesus, go on. Dude. Just let it go, bro. Don't hold back. We can backtrack.
Bad, dude. Were you the one talking about it as well? Fucking Swole either looks really good or really bad. I don't know what the fuck this was, dude. Yikes. It was so bad. The referee was counting pinfalls where fucking shoulders weren't even on the mat. And I'm not talking like one was up. I'm talking motherfucker wasn't even down.
We talking like Nick Patrick level stuff right here or what?
Dude, it was terrible. Come on.
I don't disagree with you on that.
Well, there you go. See?
So look, everyone can't be. There has to be a spot for everybody, Tony. So Miro, I get your frustration with the Miro thing, but I'm okay with this. It's pro wrestling.
There's I'm not. It
he
bugs
had
me. It
a. There was a video game. Let me speak, Tony. There was a video game machine down at ringside because that's the character Kip Sabian is. He doesn't give a shit about anybody else but himself. So if he has to be out there, he'd rather be entertained by the video game machine. And them breaking the video machine.
He has to be out there.
Because it's the story they're telling, Tony. It just makes for an insta-feud. You break the video game machine, now we're going to have a fight.
Why can't they do that in the backstage area?
I don't know. What did it didn't affect the match. Miro didn't interfere in the tag match. It's just another layer to the story.
Can now, I ask you a question?
You may ask whatever you like, sir.
All right. So I do appreciate the fact that AEW wants to bring back a lot of these old stars. I get it. I get that they want to put over the old generation.
What old stars?
Yeah. What are we talking about here? Greg Valentine?
Yeah, so they're given jobs to people like Arn Anderson.
Oh, okay, jobs that they should have.
Side with his coaching thing, and it makes sense because he's constantly whispering to Cody, getting in his head, getting pissed off when he should get pissed off, doing a great job. And Jake's with Lance Archer, and you know I get having Tully Blanchard with the FTR, but it seems like they're not doing anything but just standing on camera. What does Jake do for Lance Archer? The only time he got involved was like, oh, all right, Lance, you got hit with a chair. Let's walk away. Or it's like Tully Blanchard doesn't fucking do shit until he passes off a title belt or he gets up on the apron at the end of the match. Like, there's like no real involvement by these people. Like fucking do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, Arn Anderson's doing shit constantly at ringside. Tully's not doing it. Tully's fucking managing a heel tag team. He should be doing some sort of heel shit instead of just standing there. Jake the Snake's hanging out on the fucking walkway half the matches. It's like, do something, dude. They're paying you. Fucking get involved. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys came up in the 80s where they were fucking managers like crazy. Fucking watch some Bobby Heenan shit. Watch some Jim Cornette shit. Watch some fucking Jimmy Hart shit. Get in the fucking zone, dude. Be a manager. Do some fucking crazy fucking heel shit.
I feel like this might be twofold, and I could be totally reaching on both of these. Like, in the case of Jake the Snake, I think his like contribution to Lance Archer is more cerebral and doesn't need to be like a physical interaction, other than maybe we get a snake once in a while, maybe. But I think that might have something to do with that. Maybe same thing with Tully too. But we also have to look, like, when you look back at the managers of the glory years of managers, I think only one was an actual consistent, like Fuji was a wrestler, right? But Bobby Heenan, yeah, he took bumps, he wrestled, of course, but he was a manager first. Slick was a man, of course, and I get that, but for all intents and purposes, in terms of what everyone knew him as, like, he didn't have a legendary career before he was a manager. Fair enough. So guys like Tully Blanchard, guys like Arn Anderson, who this is their second act. Like, should they get physically involved? Like, if you could throw out second act, like Harley Race, we watched Spring Stampede 1994 recently, and he got involved with Big Bubba, but like, is like Harley Race, like, is Tully Blanchard as I'm losing my point in mid-sentence, but you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, watch Bobby Heenan tapes. Watch Jimmy Hart tapes. Jimmy Hart was never a wrestler. So, like, it's different. Like, that was their job solely to be a manager. Tully Blanchard is in his second act. Does he need? Like, does he want to get involved in that kind of stuff? Should he get involved? He's a lot older than Jimmy Hart was when he was a manager.
But it's kind of like, what's the point of having a manager then?
Like, okay, well, that's a different argument altogether. Why are we bringing these legends in to manage if they can't do what a manager's supposed to do?
But
Sherry, perfect.
But that goes to my point. Like, why are they there if they're not getting involved? Like, what? Fucking Taz can't even be bothered to get away from the commentary table. And he's like, oh, Ricky lost a tough one. Fuck that. You're fucking Taz. Drop a fucking idiot on his head. If your guy's going to lose, you might as well fucking throw some fucking shit on him. You know what
I mean? Yeah, I was trying to play devil's advocate, and I did it quite poorly. But, like, I feel specifically to Tully Blanchard, specifically to Arn Anderson, even though Arn Anderson still gets involved, I just feel like they're not what Bobby Heenan was. They're not what Slick was or Jimmy Hart was. And I don't think they're designed to be. But why they're there is a whole different argument, Matt.
I think something that they might be trying to do is catch people's attention by them being at ringside. If you're a casual wrestling fan, maybe somebody who grew up in the 80s and you stop watching wrestling and then you see wrestling and you see Tully Blanchard at ringside. Another thing is, and I think this gets lost a lot, is maybe, and I could be just throwing shit against the wall and seeing if it sticks. Maybe they're not doing anything outside the ring because they don't want to take the attention from the talent in the ring. And when you listen to a lot of these podcasts now with Bruce Pritchard and JR and Eric Bischoff, a lot of these really great managers, certain people, not all the time, certain people had problems with them because they took away the attention of the match. For what was, you know, Bobby Heenan running around outside of the ring and the camera constantly being on him can take away from a very boring Rick Rude Ultimate Warrior match.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior hated that, I think.
Yes, well, the Ultimate Warrior was the drizzling shits, and we can get into that later if you like, because I have a whole, like, revelation the last couple days about the Warrior. Oh, yes. But, no, I mean, look, yes, they should be doing, you know, I don't know what you, and it could just be a COVID thing, too. You know, like, does Jake want to get in there and be really close to, like, six different dudes? I don't know.
Should attention he? For a second. Pass off a fucking pair of brass knucks or a fucking roll of quarters. Do something fucking sneaky. You don't have to be fucking jumping up and down and getting punched in the face. You know what I'm saying?
But no. Then again, with the amount of managers that they have, do we want to see that going down every single time?
No, but in a match like that where it's for the title, they had cheating involved anyway.
Yeah, fair.
Do it. Make it fucking big, you know?
Nah, I get your point, but every manager, sir, you know, Tully cheating with I think a better example of Tully being a manager is his stuff with Sean Spears, which, if you're not watching Dark, is, I think, a better example of Tully being a heel manager.
Do you think that they're still leaning towards that group? Is that going to happen, do you think?
I would love it if that group happened, some kind of Four Horsemen revival.
Who would you have as the leader? Because I don't think Sean Spears is capable of being the leader.
I don't think Sean Spears is capable of being the leader, but I think he's capable of filling the
enforcer.
The enforcer role, yeah.
Who would you guys have? Not someone new, like someone there already.
No, I think it's either Cody.
Cody, yeah.
Or I mean, we can talk about it, or MJF, but I feel like, and we talk about it on the Wednesday night show, I feel like MJF is going to kick Jericho out of the inner circle, and he's going to take over the inner circle.
Yeah, you know what? I see that playing out that way. I don't know if I'm a fan of that, though, dude. I don't know if MJF needs a group.
Unless they think Jericho needs another babyface run.
I mean, Jericho's over as fuck as a, you know.
Regardless, agreed.
Right, and as a heel, he comes out, people fucking sing his song, yeah. Like...
I love the stuff with the jacket, by the way.
The jacket stuff's hysterical. The stuff with MJF and Jericho is hysterical, although I felt like the segment, and I talked about it Wednesday night, it went way too fucking long.
I gotta start taking notes when I watch it, because I don't remember how I remember loving it, but I don't remember how long it went.
Yeah, with a story like this, I appreciate the slow burn, but there reaches a point where it's like, all right, you got to shit or get off the pot with this thing now, you know?
Yeah, it's like the shit's burning, but it's not moving. Let's go.
Yeah, you're either going to heat the soup up or you're going to let it stay fucking cold.
Well, that criticism comes under fire a lot, too.
What's that?
Like, let's go, let's get there when, like WWE has a pay-per-view every week or something like that. You got to make matches for it, so you got to tell stories fast, whereas the slow burn and the build where, you know, AEW doesn't have as many major blow-off events to do it.
Yeah, but this isn't one of those things where it's like we're building up to a fucking big match. It's like...
Not yet. Well, you're right. Not yet they aren't. You're right about that.
But you got to take that next step, and eventually it's got to be like, well, what's going to happen? Is MJF walking away from this, or are we getting somewhere?
And with these guys as an example, I think if the gunpowder's there, you just need that match.
Yeah.
Not like the wrestling match, like a match.
Yeah.
And like, I think
we've even gotten to the build to a match yet, because there's no match even scheduled.
And I think getting to that fire is what's, you know, this is, we get like the jacket thing the first time was funny. This time was funny, but then this thing went like on for fucking ever, and now they're going to have dinner next week.
I like that. That was funny. Building's like they're going to fight, but actually just going to go to a state. That's what heels do, man.
Right,
you know
that. I get it, but it just, there's things in that, they could have cut that promo by like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And right. I think it would have done wonders. And Tony, to I know you're very frustrated with AEW, and don't think like I'm going to sit here and praise everything they do, because I also have issues with them. Like this 4-way tag match for the number one contendership, I'm pretty sure the Young Bucks already won the number one contendership match at the last pay-per-view. So well, I don't understand what's going on here. This is very WWE-like.
I know what it means. It means the rankings don't mean shit, which is like, why the
it's
fuck?
Not a, it's has, this has zero to do with the rankings. The stipulation of the match was whoever wins this match at fucking Double or Nothing is the number one contender for the tag titles.
I don't like the Young Bucks. I don't like the story. I think they're like too fucking like not serious in being fucking arrogant the way they are. I think they just come across as silly. They don't come across as like the fucking devil may care fuck all attitude that they should have. It just
yeah, but they sneak some super kicks in there on people to get over how dicks they are.
They kicked Alex Marvez. They kicked Tony Schiavone. Who gives a shit? And another thing, they're getting fined up the wazoo. Lance Archer beats up some fucking rum dum backstage. Nothing fucking happens to him. What the fuck is going on?
Because they're the EVPs. The EVPs
who
can't be going
a fuck?
Around
they're
beating
all
up the talent.
Of the company, dude.
And also, nobody likes a rum dum.
Yeah, fuck these rum dums.
Yeah, so fuck. No one cares about the rum dum.
Fuck a rum dum.
Fuck a rum dum.
Fuck a rum. I have no gifts to bring.
Fuck a rum dum.
Lance Archer punched your face, you rum dum dum.
I have no shits to give you. Fuck a rum dum. I am out of fucks to give, except this one. Fuck a rum dum.
Fuck a rum dum. Speaking of rum dums, Tony, Matt Hardy is cleared.
Yeah, he only took one fucking week off. Whoopty fucking do.
This is another thing where I'm like, I'm done with this. Fucking we're going to go back to this fucking Matt Hardy, Sammy Guevara stuff. I mean,
he was never fucking concussed. He was never hurt.
I feel like everyone's spoons is in everyone else's porridge.
It was a fucking work, dude. It was a fucking work.
That's neither here nor there, though. I thought this feud was over. I don't want to see this again.
What's Lance Archer's finishing move?
Fuck a rum dum.
Blackout.
And what is that? Like a boss?
It's like
an
inverted razor's edge.
Yeah, but he takes you and like flips you over.
Yeah, so you go up in the razor's edge, but you're facing the same direction he is, and then he just flips you over and slams you.
So if you had a grueling match with John Moxley and you fucking both beat the shit out of each other, and then you hit the fucking over the shoulder boulder holder,
Blackout.
How the fuck does John Moxley just fucking get a roll up out of nowhere? Come on, dude.
T-Dunk, who would you rather be in the spot? Would you put Miro in Lance Archer's spot?
No, but just fucking win if you're going to win, dude. Like, why are you...
This was a question that I wanted to ask you before.
Question. I got
to
make a point. Here's the thing. Like, I know you guys like to talk on Wednesday. Everything's booked to protect everybody. Everybody looks good in a loss. Everybody looks good in a win. There's always this way out. We don't need a way out of every fucking match. We just don't. Fucking Taz gives fucking Brian Cage a way out. Now Lance Archer gets a way out because he got a cheap win. Fucking Orange Cassidy gets a fucking way out because he goes to a time limit draw. Can we just have people fucking win? Best Friends gets a way out because FTR cheated. Fucking just somebody pin someone, for Christ's sake.
Hold on, Lance Archer.
Tell you to fucking take a loss.
Lance Archer didn't get a way out. He lost.
Yeah, by a fucking cheap old roll-up.
It's a fucking roll-up. Did you complain when fucking Bret Hart fucking won with a roll-up? When Davey Boy Smith sat down on his head, did you cry?
Well, because that was a strategical mistake.
When Bret Hart fucking played possum and he rolled up Diesel at Survivor Series, were you upset?
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah, fuck a Bret Hart and fuck Diesel.
It's fucking wrestling. What are you getting all fucking hot about?
Because I'm just tired of all the protected wins and losses. Just
nothing's protected. He lost. That's it. We're moving on. It set up the Eddie Kingston, John Moxley thing, which was fantastic.
Didn't Eddie Kingston already lose to John Moxley?
Yeah, he didn't ever quit.
He gets in everybody fucking just line him up. Hey, you lost. Just go fucking two back and you'll have another shot next week.
Listen, you fucking NWA homer. All right. He never fucking tapped, though. It's a story.
But he's fucking protected, but he lost, right?
We all can't be like Tim Storm. Knock it off. And all Nick Aldis does is cheats, and he's your fucking savior. Shut up.
Nick Aldis is God. How dare you?
Yeah, how's God doing? He worked one match in the past fucking 9 months.
He fucking beat Mike Bennett clean as a sheet in the middle of the ring. And Mike Bennett was the one that wanted to cheat, and he thought better of it.
Oh.
And more power to him.
What was
Mike Bennett took a loss. You don't hear him fucking cry.
What was his dumb fucking stable that's no longer? What was it called? Strictly Business. They fucking suck too. That's why he was the NWA champion for as long as he was. Fucking Royce Isaacs and Bram were doing all his dirty work.
No. Camille does all his dirty work.
Yeah, well, Bram's too busy sticking his fingers in Camille now on Instagram. Follow those two.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's what they're doing, buddy. All right?
Well, great. You know what? It's AEW talk. Now we're getting pervy, Matt. This ain't Wednesday, bro. Save it.
No, you get up there on your fucking high horse like AEW's not doing a great job. There's lots of holes in the fucking NWA. Nick Aldis cheats all the time to fucking win. So I don't want to hear it.
Do you feel like people care as much when it's like an AEW or an NWA about holes in the story? Or do they, like, to me, like when I watch AEW, for some reason in my head, I don't look at it like the same way I look at like Raw, which has been, or look at WWE, which has been a continuous show to me. Like, I, for some reason, I look at each show in a vacuum. Like, it seems like I'm watching just a very great big time indie show.
Look, Lance Archer lost. That's it. He lost, and then they fucking hit him with a steel chair. He no sold it. Jake pulled him out of the ring, so he still looks strong. He doesn't get his win back. He doesn't have to get his win back. He's still a monster.
Guess
what, Tony? You want to piss and moan about something? Retribution just got their shit kicked in by the Hurt Business and Bray Wyatt. Explain that to me.
Why do you want me to explain that? I hate Retribution. Retribution's a fucking pile of dog shit. I'm glad they lost.
The Hurt Business.
You know what I'm pissed off about?
What?
Fucking.
Oh, I know. Can I guess? Oh, I was going to say that.
You're pissed off because it's 9 o'clock?
No, Raw Underground is gone.
They canceled it.
Fucking canceled it.
Good.
I thought you were going to be upset about Mercedes Martinez being kicked out of Retribution.
Why'd they kick her out?
They didn't like storyline kick her out. She just went back to NXT. She's no longer a part of the group.
Because WWE is fucking garbage. No, you know what? Let me rephrase that. Raw is fucking hot garbage. It's a hot piling, steaming, stinky pile of cat shit.
I have to be fair. I have not invested time to watch it, although it's on the DVR. I'm kind of digging the Alexa Bliss Bray Wyatt thing.
Yeah, but isn't that on SmackDown?
That's what I'm saying. I have to start getting into that, but it's very intriguing.
SmackDown is like what WWE should be doing. Like the Roman Reigns, Jey Uso stuff is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's absolutely awesome. Sasha and Bayley, the stuff they're doing is excellent.
Even if I'll throw the Alexa Bliss stuff in there. That's good storytelling.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's what wrestling is about.
But then you put on Raw and it's like, what the like, what is going on here? I'm looking at the Twitter timeline and it's like, Retribution is in. You're going to let Ali talk. Then last week, he's not even on the fucking show. And then they try and turn that into an angle. And the Hurt Business, who are heels, beat up the other heels with Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. I was thinking Braun Strowman.
Like, what is, what the fuck? I don't know how you, Dave LaGreca put out a tweet and I said, I don't know how you fucking watch this dog shit every week. I get it's your job. Just read the fucking spoilers in the morning. No one gives a fuck. Look, I understand if you're invested in a product. I just don't know how you watch Raw. SmackDown, I see clips of SmackDown, and I know you guys want to talk, and I'm sorry.
No, I see clips of
SmackDown. SmackDown looks awesome. The stuff with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso is fucking a home run. It might be the best thing they've done in the last 4 years.
The scuttlebutt is
they're loading
up SmackDown because they want to keep Fox happy.
Whatever the reason, you want to keep USA happy too. Whatever the reason is.
Fuck USA. USA knows that without WWE, they ain't got shit.
They got Miz and Mrs.
No. Here,
they don't have that if they don't have WWE.
Here's what I don't understand. The more good wrestling there is, the happier the fans will be. Why is this so... What is fucking Bruce Pritchard doing besides destroying his own fucking podcast with his fucking awful commentary? And, oh, I'm going to wake up at 6 o'clock. Just fucking cancel. It's fucking garbage now. Conrad just reads the fucking Observer for 2.5 hours, and Bruce screams every time they mention Meltzer. Yeah, was he there? He doesn't know. I don't know. I'm Bruce Pritchard. No one fucking gives a shit anymore.
In fairness, Bruce Pritchard has just every fucking chance he gets.
Get your fucking head out of your ass. Like, SmackDown's awesome. Make Raw good. Give us more good wrestling. Why is that so fucking hard?
I'm gonna kill my creation. With the NWO, with a lethal injection of
podcast, do you?
Of Bruce Pritchard.
It's fucking retarded. You look at the fucking Raw roster and the SmackDown roster, and the talent is through the fucking roof. Why can't they do what they're doing on SmackDown on Raw? Why?
I don't know. Playing to different bosses,
fuck,
advertisers.
I gotta go get my notes. Hold on.
I don't know. Maybe USA wants one thing and Fox wants the other. Who knows? Maybe Fox wants a more athletic-driven show and USA wants a more reality-based alternative media show. I don't know.
I don't get it.
That's just such a fucking cop-out. Like, we're going to load up SmackDown because they want the Fox ratings to be through the roof.
No, I'm just saying that maybe Fox and USA want something different.
I don't own a TV company. I don't run a TV company. I know shit about that. All I know is ratings are good. Wouldn't you want the most people in the world having their eyes on your network?
All right, but let's go to. All right, so what are you at? You're asking for good wrestling, right? Out of Raw.
That's it. Raw is fucking bad. From what I see, I have not watched, and I'll be very transparent here. So, I have not sat down to watch Monday Night Raw in at least a year.
All right, so let's put that aside. Would you consider NXT good wrestling?
Yes, NXT is a great prod. They do a great job over there.
Yet, they're not getting numbers. So, and I feel like at this point, after all the hype that they got over the last year and a half, that they should be, they're great wrestling, and they should be getting good numbers.
They should, but Vince McMahon has an ego, and he had to go head-to-head with AEW.
So you think if they put them on Tuesday night,
I think they'd be doing better,
but would they be doing Raw numbers?
I don't know about Raw numbers because Raw is an established show that's been on the air for 20 years. But I think their numbers would be better because then wrestling fans wouldn't have to choose between AEW and NXT.
But what if they put NXT on Tuesday night and it only got what is that?
Someone wearing a shining. Way to fucking just pull the e-brake on the fucking conversation, Tony.
300,000. Say they only got 300,000 more viewers a week, and they were only getting 1 million viewers on a Tuesday.
A million viewers is awesome.
All right, so I wasn't expecting that answer out of you, because you're getting. If you want good wrestling, NXT is good wrestling, but Raw does better, and it's not good wrestling.
Right, because Raw has those diehard people that tune in every week. It's like, you know what this ties into? The Ultimate Warrior. You want to know why?
I don't know how, but I'm
going to tell you why. Because the Ultimate...
Lay it on me, baby.
because the Ultimate Warrior as the world champion was not relatable to anybody. Right? Hulk Hogan, right. Hulk Hogan represented the good in the world. He said his prayers, he ate his vitamins, USA, red, white, and blue. Like, you could relate to Hulk Hogan, right? You want to stand next to the fucking Hulkster if you're going to go to war. Macho Man Randy Savage, the stuff with Elizabeth, right? He fucking loves Elizabeth. He protects her. You can relate to that. The Ultimate Warrior runs to the ring. He's definitely on steroids. He paints his face, and his promos are fucking gibberish. No one can relate to that. Kids love him, but that's it. The people who were buying tickets to the WWF in 1990 didn't give a shit about the Ultimate Warrior. There was nothing relatable about him.
I don't know about that.
I don't know why people shit on his promo so much. I always thought he was a fucking great promo.
This
not
promo,
one of the best, but he always told a great fucking story.
His promos don't make any sense.
They made sense because you don't want to fucking listen to them.
Tony, how could you possibly justify that his promos make sense?
Because they do. That's how I justify it. Listen to his promos. Thanksgiving is a time of peace, but not when my Intercontinental Championship is on the line. I'm coming for you, a fucking ninja, whatever the fuck his name was.
Ocon?
Crashing the fucking plane. No survivors. Come on, dude. He's talking about two of the greatest forces of all time clashing. That's what he means by no survivors. It's like two fucking nuclear warheads hitting each other.
I'd have to go.
It was a great promo. I don't care what anybody says.
I don't think he was. Kevin?
Well, I'm gonna abstain on this one because I don't want to overstep or sleep on promos that may have sounded like gibberish, and maybe there was some point there that I just didn't get or I still haven't got. Like, I kind of feel like I understand where Tony's coming from with that, but if you had a promo that was like 3 minutes, I'll say 2:45 were ineffective and 15 were effective.
Okay, I just randomly put in Ultimate Warrior promo. I don't know what
this is going to come up like already. The top watch ones are going to be ones that are going to be ridiculous.
But his promos were this is every promo he's ever done. I've not even heard what he says.
All right, play one.
That's here.
All right, I thank you very much, Vince McMahon. I've got to pose some of the questions to you, Ultimate Warrior, that Vince just discussed with the World Wrestling Federation champion, Hulk Hogan. First of all, what happened tonight? Ultimate Warrior.
What happened tonight was already written, Hulk Hogan. It was written a long time ago when the warriors that came before me and you, yes, I'll do it. Now, what we must do is beyond us, Hulk Hogan. I stood with my back to you, Hulk Hogan, and I knew you would not come. But, Hulk Hogan, when I looked into your eyes, I saw walls, walls filled with fear. Fear that ran thick through you, Hulk Hogan, at Royal Rumble. I needed no friends. I needed no partners. Every man stands by himself like the Ultimate Warrior always has. But Hulk Hogan, you still do not understand. You still have mistrust. I need not your protection, Hulk Hogan. Look on the wall of the Joe Louis Arena. The warriors that could not come have attached themselves to the outer structure, Hulk Hogan. They're seeping through, feeling me, feeding me with the power to survive. They ride on my back for my protection. I need not you, Hulk Hogan. And if you look closer, you will notice red and yellow, the colors of Hulkamania. Hulkamaniacs that are questioning, do you have, Hulk Hogan, what it takes to be the most powerful force in the entire universe? Hulk Hogan, look at me, Hulk Hogan. Look at me.
Please.
Without the paint, Hulk Hogan, the desire to withstand the pain and give you the utmost in battle and combat at WrestleMania 6 still stands, Hulk Hogan, for I am the chosen one.
Why does he say the Hulkster's name like that?
Hulk
Hogan.
It's probably a nervous thing, unless he just wants to keep harping on the fact that he's...
That wasn't terrible, man.
It was. Look, I'm not going to say it was terrible, but it could have been at least another a minute shorter. When the Warriors started seeping through the Joe Louis Arena, that's weird.
That was the Warriors that couldn't get in, and they were seeping in because they were supporting the Warrior. The Warrior said, I don't need you, Hogan. I have the Warriors to support me. That was the whole thing. Come on, dude. That was a great promo.
It was good.
Look, I'm not going to say it wasn't a good promo.
I was listening for things that didn't make sense, and everything in that promo made sense.
Not everything in that.
The one thing where it was like,
he's in the Royal Rumble. Every man for himself. I didn't need a friend. I didn't need a partner. And then I turned my back. And when I turned back to you, I saw the fear in your eyes.
Okay. All right. So you just cleared up my point. I was going to say, well, he said that he had his back turned to him, and then he looked into his eyes. I didn't realize that he said that he turned back.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense. That's good.
That was a great promo.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Listen, you got to pay attention to what he's saying.
It wasn't the worst. It wasn't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, that was terrible. It was a good promo.
Got to speak Warrior.
But I just don't think he connected to people.
No, you're right. I'm not saying that.
I think that truly,
there was no backstory to the Warrior. He just came to the ring, ran around, beat people up, and he left.
And I think that showed, because Hogan was supposed to be gone, and then he came back for the feud with Earthquake, and then throughout the house show loop, people were leaving after the Hogan match in the middle.
Yeah, because there was no reason for them to stay invested in the.
And that's why, like, even on Bruce's podcast, they even mentioned that they took the face paint off him to make him look more human, to make him look more relatable, and only put the Warrior sign on the cheek or something like that. So. Yeah.
And I think you put him in a bad, like,
I said this entire run when Warrior was champ. It was a terrible, terrible run.
No, I think ultimately, too, the problem was face versus face in the title match and switching the title that way.
Well, I think the problem was he beat Hogan.
I have no problem with him beating Hogan, but they did nothing after that to make anyone care about Warrior.
Right. Where do you go? You just beat the face of the WWF for the last X amount of, like, where you went to look, and I love Rick Rude.
I agree.
But you went back to Rick Rude, who you feuded with the IC title over now, like,
and Rick Rude didn't have a strong program in 1990 all year.
Yeah, and Rude wasn't around up to that point. They brought him back for this program. He hadn't been around. So you've got a champion who just dethroned the Golden Goose, and then he's in a feud with somebody who, yeah, they had a little bit of history. But it wasn't earth-shattering stuff.
And Rick Rude was never top-of-the-card guy.
Yeah, like, Rick Rude beat the Warrior, and then he lost it back at SummerSlam anyway. So it was kind of like a short-term thing, or what was it, Survivor Series?
No, he beat him at WrestleMania, and he lost it to him at SummerSlam, the IC title.
And I think I've said this before. I don't remember if it was specifically about Warrior, but, like, Ultimate Warrior was, like, the longest transitional champion of all time.
He really was. Look, you look – if you go back and you do the research and you look, like – he was headlining house shows, and it was him and LOD against Demolition. And you know Demolition at this time, Axe couldn't do shit. Like, yeah.
And
yeah, he did a couple things with, like, Savage, but I don't know, man. It just, like, people want to complain about Diesel being the WWF champion, and, it, like, they didn't make a lot of money. Like, I don't think the Warrior made a lot of money for the WWE either. Like, there were Warrior fans, but you weren't pulling in.
I think Warrior probably moved a lot of merch.
He probably did, but the only comparable that he had was Hogan. So it's unfair.
No, because I think Savage pulled people in too. Like, I think you had your Hogan fans, right?
Yeah, but Savage was a heel for most of that time.
No, but I'm just talking about
story. Savage was the guy who mistreated his manager. Savage was the guy who put Ricky Steamboat out. Savage was a diabolical dickhead who didn't know how to treat his woman.
Sure, but then you see what happens, and you see the man in him at WrestleMania 7, and you fall in love with, you know?
Kevin quit the business.
He's human. That's the thing. Like, Hogan was, you saw those human aspects of him. The Ultimate Warrior, you didn't see that. You didn't get that relatable thing with him. And I think it appealed to the kids and the teenagers, but the adults, no one was like, I want my kid to be like the Ultimate Warrior. You want your kid to be like the Hulkster or the Macho King or Macho Man.
I think if they would have done something with a heel in between and given the Ultimate Warrior a chance to build himself up as something else, they might have had a better shot at it.
I just don't think it worked.
No, you're right. It didn't. But look, as far as an Intercontinental champion, a guy is an undercard title holder. It was fine. Absolutely fine. But what else do we have to cover? Because we're fucking starting to get long in the tooth over here.
The Ring of Honor Pure Title Tournament is going on tonight. Your matches are PJ Black against Josh Woods and Fred Yehi against Tracy Williams. Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham advanced, so they're in the Final Four. WWE NXT is bringing back Halloween Havoc, and they're bringing back Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. Which,
yeah, I heard what the Gargano and the Candice LeRae matches are getting the gimmick. Yes,
Candice is getting it against Shotzi Blackheart, I want to say.
Hold on, I think so. And who's Gargano got?
He's got Priest? Yeah.
Ooh, so it's going to be for the title, or is it just going to be a gimmick?
I think it's going to be for the title.
Ooh, potential. What kind of gimmicks are they putting up on the wheel, or have they not
said? They didn't say yet, but I love, dude, if you're not a Patreon supporter, go to the Patreon. Listen, pledge the $3. Watch the watch along. Fucking, dude, Halloween Havoc, Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal, 93. Is amazing. The intro alone is fucking awesome. And then when they spin the wheel and they make the deal, man, I know you think Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. That fucking coal miner's glove match is the dog shits, okay? Sting and fucking Jake. Jake didn't give a fuck. He was probably smoking crack in WCW in 92. What? Don't make a face. He didn't give a fuck in 1992. He got paid and he was in WCW. He don't give a fuck. That coal miner's glove match is the dog shits.
I don't think he got paid all that much during his WCW tenure.
But that Texas Death Match is awesome. Although I thought the rules were a little convoluted and I didn't have the volume on, so I couldn't quite understand them.
I thought the rule was pinfall and then a 10 count to get up.
Right, but then I thought there was a pinfall and then there was a 10 count, but then Cactus Jack got up and then he got stun gunned by Harley Race and then the 10 count started again. I don't know. You got to watch it.
Yeah, because it's like the way you were telling it seemed like almost like a double knockout kind of thing and both guys were trying to get up. Is that what happened? But that doesn't make sense because somebody would have been down on a pinfall.
We missed something at the ending didn't make sense, so you have to go back and watch it yourself. Or
actually watch along that watch along.
Yeah, please watch along, and you can, if you can find the exact moment when I get cat shit on my hands, fucking aces high to you, buddy.
Nice.
some
drizzling shit things.
Do we have games?
We do have games. Dark Side of the Ring is coming back for season 3. They're saying 14 episodes.
I hope Chris Gethard's getting a job, getting to fucking do a proper post show.
So what I see here is they're working on a Brian Pillman show.
Yeah.
Okay, a Dynamite Kid show.
Ooh, your favorite.
A Grizzly Smith show.
That's going to be fucking weird. Are they going to be interviewing that as well?
Apparently they interviewed Jake, Sam Houston, and
Wendy.
Rockin' Robin.
Yeah, Rockin' Robin, yeah.
That's fucking crazy. That could be a sleeper.
And then they said going back to WCW talking about two shows in North Korea in 1995.
That's going to be a good one, too. Collision in Korea, I'm always fascinated with. I love when Eric Bischoff did his show about it. I actually fucking watched that show. It wasn't live, of course, but I watched the pay-per-view, and it was fucking surreal, dude. Now, when you force the citizens of your country to go to the show and you can boast 190,000, I mean, it's kind of, you know, but...
I'm actually... The grit, like... I mean, just some of these other topics, like... Dark Side of the Ring does a great job of putting a different light on stuff that you think you already know, but I know nothing about like the Grizzly Smith, Jake the Snake, Rockin' Robin. Like, what could they possibly talk about other than Jake the Snake? There's probably going to be a whole lot more there.
I'm
really looking forward to that.
Did you ever watch the Jake DVD?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
You talking about the Resurrection?
No. The one that where he talks about how his father raped his...
Oh, Jake, fuck. I think I have that somewhere on my shelf. I forgot about that.
Jake is a child of rape?
Yeah. His
mother was like 13?
Grizzly Smith raped his...
Stepdaughter?
Yeah, it was Grizzly Smith's kid. His stepdaughter or some shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's fucked up, Kev. It's real fucked up. And I don't think it stops with Jake.
And I think Jake was like he was raped by his stepmother.
But people don't talk about... Yeah.
Jake was like raped by.
But when I hear like you don't hear. But going back to you don't hear a whole lot about Grizzly in negative. I mean, at least I haven't. Because his name comes up in podcasts that you listen to. Yeah. No one says anything. I had no idea. Oh wow.
Yeah. Well, so, then again, I think it's a lot of people when they're doing shows like that, they just kind of focus on what they did in terms of a wrestling career. Like, who's the guy that was fucking saying racist shit about Hank Aaron a few years ago?
Was it Bill Watts? Yeah, Bill Watts.
Yes, that was it. So like when people talk about Bill Watts, like they always say like all Bill Watts cared about was like green. That's the only color that ever mattered to him. But bro, he said some fucking heinous shit over the years.
Yeah, he did. So these are accusations from Jake Roberts. He was conceived when his father, who was dating Roberts' grandmother, raped her 13-year-old daughter. Also in the DVD documentary Old School with Rockin' Robin details how she was sexually abused by her father beginning at age 6 or 7.
Fucking Christ.
Yeah, and Jake was molested by one of his stepmothers too, wasn't he? I thought I remember him talking about that. It was either in Beyond the Mat or his documentary.
That's like cult like stuff right there. Not cult like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no. That's like a cult.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's bad. Dang. And then like they talk about how his sister, she married that older guy and then he fucking kidnapped her and killed her.
Yeah.
It's crazy all right. Shit.
That's a good dark side.
I mean, you're gonna put out 14 episodes.
Yeah. What's gonna be left after 14? I mean, I know it's wrestling, so there's a lot of crazy stuff, but after 14, that's a lot of episodes to crank out.
I'm sure there's plenty. And then on the GCW ran the collective 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, last week? Last week.
Yeah. A whole bunch of people got sick from that.
Everyone's
huh?
got COVID, so yeah. Tony Deppen, Dan the Dad.
Deppen was the only name I recognized.
Yeah, there's a couple other, but you know, that's what you get when you put fucking 53 people in a battle royal. Fucking morons. Mexican wrestler died in the ring this weekend.
Yes. Yes.
26 years old.
23.
Yeah. 23.
Oh, I thought 26.
Principe Ario?
Yes.
Apparently he had a heart attack in his match. So
sad shit.
That's rough stuff. I don't know.
I hate to say it. It was fucking sad, dude. It was fucking sad.
It's awful. Awful. Anytime, anything, especially in the ring. You know,
completely innocuous too. Like you're like, it was like match, and then all of a sudden, like, fuck, we're in a moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, they say it's so we got hit with a couple chops, and doctors have said like when kids get hit in the chest with like a lacrosse ball or a hockey puck.
Or baseball.
It's in between when the heart is beating is when the impact happens, and that's what causes the heart attack.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Which I'm sure is like a 1 in a million shot.
Yeah.
But whatever, man. Fucking awful shit, so.
No more chops from Moff.
I never said that. Kevin, you got a top five list for us tonight?
I do. It's a revamped version of tonight's guest list because there are five other names on here that you guys probably have no recollection of him managing. So we're going to go with that.
So what's the top five list, Kevin?
The top five list this week, guys, is top five wrestlers that Teddy Long managed that you probably had no idea that he managed.
Now, Kevin, I'm not going to lie. I have his Wikipedia right in front of me.
Matt, if you looked at it, I wouldn't even care.
All right.
It's late.
T-Donk, you want to go first?
Yeah, let T-Donk have a kick at the can. Actually, right. Matt, don't look at it just yet. Let's figure it out.
Hard work, Bobby Walker.
No, because he mentioned him. These are guys that I don't think he mentioned.
Jim Powers on your list.
Jim Powers is not on the list because, again, I had to revamp this because he mentioned Jim Powers.
All right.
Jumpin' Joey Maggs.
Jumpin' Joey Maggs, we mentioned him, so he's not on the list. I mentioned him very briefly.
Okay.
Johnny B. Bad.
Johnny B. Bad is on the list, Matt, at number five. And I have no real backstory here, so I'm just giving you the name and the number, and that's it.
Ice Train?
Matt? Wait, you're not Matt, you're Tony. Tony. Tony coming in hot with number one.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think out of the list that I have, Ice Train, maybe with the exception of one other person, had the best run. So you may have remembered that he managed Ice Train, but Ice Train, I think, had a really solid mid-card, lower-card run. So he's number one.
That's number one in Kevin's heart and Kimberly Page's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby. Bobby Eaton.
Fuck. No, I wanted to put him on there. He should be on here, but I don't even remember him managing Bobby Eaton.
All right.
So I couldn't put that on there.
One
of them is WWE, by the way.
I'm going to say Rosie.
That's a great one. Thought about it. Didn't include it.
Mark Henry?
No. Mark Henry's amazing. If I wanted to do like the top five guys that he managed, but he already talked about a lot of them, so I couldn't do that. So, no Mark Henry. You're missing, you got five and one. You're missing four, three, and two.
One man gang.
One man gang is number two.
Nice.
So the one man gang is number two. Yeah, it was good. It was good stuff. So there you go. There's number two.
Can I get a Braden Walker? Just because I know you always like to throw his name out there. I don't even know if he managed Teddy Long.
Or Teddy I Hook don't think he him. Did.
Okay.
He 100% did not manage Teddy Long.
I got good call, Cass.
I'm going to go pee.
What's that? Oh, he's going to go pee. Tony, T-Dog.
Oh, I thought he said...
I thought he mentioned someone, too.
Norman the Lunatic.
It's a great one. But no, I feel like people knew that he managed Norman the Lunatic.
Huh.
A lot of these guys are from like the same era, except for the WWE one, obviously.
Bagwell?
No, Bagwell's not there.
Fuck.
I'm gonna just tell. I feel like there's not a whole lot of steam behind this list anyway, so I might just tell.
How many are we missing?
You're missing two, four, and three.
The Undertaker?
No, not the Undertaker.
Dan Spivey.
No, Skyscrapers. People knew Dan Spivey.
Huh. Who else would they have not have known?
I can't tell if it's raining or my dad just has the sink on really loud.
It's probably the sink. I don't know. Was it other people from WWE?
One is WWE. Missing four and three. And one I had to delete because I mentioned him briefly. I mentioned Rodney Mack. I mentioned Chris Nowinski. So they're not there.
Did you mention Norman the Lunatic?
Yeah.
Tony did. I did not put him on the list.
So you got nobody while I was away?
And nothing.
You mentioned Jindrak?
I mentioned Jindrak.
Fuck. Obviously, you didn't put Mean Mark on the list, did you? Because he would have been one. Okay.
No. Didn't put either one of the Skyscrapers, either the member of Doom.
What about Scorpio?
Did not put Scorpio.
Are we missing?
Are you thinking about people that were part of the new Superstar Initiative?
No.
Are you thinking about...
He was the GM, not a manager.
Are you thinking about Doom?
No. I just said no Butch Reed, no Ron.
All right, sorry. I was in the bathroom. I had to pee. So we're missing...
You were sitting right there.
We're missing two?
Yeah.
Is this, I'm sure Tony already asked this because I was in the bathroom. Is this WWE or WCW?
One is WWE. And I barely remember this, but I do remember it.
Jazz?
No. Jazz was going to be, if I didn't have the conversation with him, all the guys you probably already guessed were going to be on the list. These are like the five like losers. This is like the ECW brand of the list.
No Sid. Craig Pittman?
Craig Pitbull Pittman at number three.
I thought I mentioned him.
You did not, T-Donk.
Fuck. I'm an idiot.
What a run he had in 1993, 94, 95, 96.
So we're missing one.
Cobra. What's that?
We're missing one?
Missing one.
Evan Bourne.
See, I don't know because I don't think he did. I don't believe that.
MVP.
No,
Tony, anytime you just want to throw a fucking name out there, help me out here, buddy.
Nope, dude. You're fucking
former member of the Nation of Domination.
D'Lo?
D'Lo Brown.
Oh.
Number four. So.
Wait, but he talked about D'Lo in the interview, and then you still
went. Not when I was here.
This must have been, that must have been pre-Kevin.
So Johnny B. Badd, D'Lo Brown, Craig Pittman, One Man Gang, Ice Train. A list that did not have a whole lot of steam because it was basically improv at the last minute.
All right, Tony.
Came out of the gate with a question that included. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Kevin.
No, it's okay.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Tony, you got your fucking dancing shoes on tonight? You ready to go 101 with Kevin? And can you beat that?
Oh, I'm facing T-Donk. I thought this was T-Donk's gimmick.
Well, it can't be me against you every week, bro. We got to change it up.
All right.
Now, Kevin.
I'm really not in the mood, but all right, let's play.
Oh, my God. Will you fucking stop?
Oh, it's fucking late, dude. I'm tired of these fucking four-hour shows.
First of all, we're still under 3 hours, all right? That's and okay, you said we were going to talk to Teddy Long all night, and you were right. So just once a week, give me 3 hours of your time, big guy. That's all I ask for. Those nice, clean, shaven balls that you got in the shower and turned the lights off for some ungodly reason, and thankfully you're not fucking blowing in a straw to get up your stairs like Draws. Oh,
boy. Oh, man.
It's time for...
How do we still get guests?
It's easy. I just go on the internet. Type. Oh, I'm sorry?
They don't listen.
Clearly. Kevin, I want you to know, for the integrity of the show, Tony said, oh, you got questions tonight? And I said, I do. He goes, can I have the answers? And I said, no. So... Tony's trying to fucking cheat.
What are you
just
fucking talking about?
Just like when we did.
About spoiling the fucking G1, but don't make up fucking stories now, dude.
Oh, you
I believe
mother,
that.
You motherfucker. Like when we did the vote for your president and you voted like 15 times for your fucking guy.
I didn't get you involved in my shenanigans. That was all me. That wasn't
yeah,
you.
So
I would never
you're
fucking
a fucking
do
cheater.
That.
You are a cheating motherfucker.
Fucking fuckhead.
Is this for the Shining Wizards Championship that sits proudly somewhere in your house, Tony Z?
No. Oh, you mean right here? This thing?
That butte.
This fucking beautiful belt right here. Nice. No, it's not.
Why?
Because I have to decide who's going to fucking be the first champion. And it just can't be like, oh, let's just play a game.
Oh, we should do like a three-man gimmick. We'll talk about this. All right. Everyone knows the rules to Can You Beat That. I will tell you how many correct answers there are to the question, and we will go back and forth with the amount of correct answers you think you can get. Kevin thinks he can get 4. Tony says he can get 5. Kevin thinks Tony can answer the 5. Because Kevin doesn't know 5, he will defer to Tony. Tony can answer those 5. The one that Tony gets wrong makes Tony a fucking loser.
So you don't even know how to explain this well, and then you steal my gimmick on top of fucking playing my game.
Just
putting a hat on a hat, you fucking dick.
All right, so I flipped the coin over here. Tony had heads, Kevin had tails. It landed on tails, so Kevin, you have 2 topics you can choose from. Whatever topic you do not choose... is the topic Tony will get, as the tiebreaker question is not very easy. Pretty basic ones here. WCW Cruiserweight Championship. And
we did that one already.
And World Heavyweight Championship.
We did that one already.
Shut up.
Hey, listen, I'm turning over a new leaf. This is positive Kevin over here. No more negativity about anything. Matt, I think these are 2 fantastic categories. I think you did... tremendous, and I am going to pick Cruiserweight Championship.
Okay, Kevin, excuse me. There are in the history of the WCW Cruiserweight Championship, there have been 10 individuals with 2 or more reigns as the WCW Cruiserweight Champion. How many can you name?
I can name 5.
Tony, Kevin thinks he can name 5 WCW Cruiserweight Championship champions with 2 or more reigns. How many can you name? Tony, can you do me a solid when you're done writing things down?
What?
You just a little more volume on the song, bud.
You want it louder?
A little louder. It doesn't come through so as loud. I know it might be loud on your end, but it doesn't come through loud. I'm sorry. I don't mean to bust your balls.
Is that better?
It is. Actually, I can hear it now. So Kevin says 5.
I'll say 6.
Tony says six. Kevin, can you name more than six?
Yes, can you maim more than six, Kevin?
How many correct answers are there?
Ten, sir.
I can name seven.
Tony.
Kevin, name that tune.
All right. You have Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio is correct for one.
You have Dean Malenko.
Oh, Rey Mysterio was a 5-time champion. Dean Malenko is correct. He was a 4-time champion. You have two. You have to get to seven.
You have Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho is correct. He is a 4-time WCW Cruiserweight champion.
You have Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero, correct. He is a 2-time WCW Cruiserweight champion. You have four. You need three more, Mr. Grifo.
You have Billy Kidman.
Billy Kidman, a 3-time WCW Cruiserweight champion.
Ultimo Dragon's got to be there, right? Ultimo?
Ultimo Dragon is there with a 2-time reign. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You need one more, Kevin.
Juventud Guerrero. Boom.
Juventud Guerrero, a 3-time champion. Kevin Garifo with 7 out of 7. Tony, who was on your list that Kevin did not mention?
I had X-Pac.
X-Pac is not a WCW Cruiserweight champion 2 or more times.
And Shane Helms.
You are wrong. You're a fucking loser.
Okay, so I would have lost anyway.
Kevin, Psychosis, is he on there?
Psychosis is on there as a 2-time champion.
Chavo Guerrero?
He is also on there as a 2-time champion. One more, Kevin, for the clean sweep, although you already have the point. And I will be impressed if you get this one.
It's got to be like late. Lash LaRue?
Medusa.
No, sir. No, sir.
Lenny Lane?
No.
Disco Inferno?
No. Mike Sanders?
No. You're all in the right. Well, Tony, you're not in the right area. But Kevin, you're right in the right area.
Disco Inferno? Alex Wright?
No. The artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea. He was a 2-time champion.
I thought he was like a 2-time TV champion.
1 point goes to Kevin Grifo.
Wonderful.
Tony, question goes to you. T-Donk, the World Heavyweight Championship between the years 2002, when Eric Bischoff brought it back to Monday Night Raw, to 2013, where it was unified with the WWE Championship. There have been 14 to have 2 or more reigns as champion. How many can you name? This is the big gold belt only from 2002 to 2013.
Wow.
So did they end up splitting them up again or no? They didn't, right? Oh. Not since the Universal and...
No, so it's 2002 when Eric Bischoff handed it to...
Somebody.
And then 2013 where it was unified in a match.
Got it.
Between two men.
And this was... this was after it was the WCW. So that's the other thing.
I know 14's a lot. I apologize.
I'll start with 6.
That's a good number, Tony.
Tony thinks he can name 6. Kevin, how many do you think you can name?
Hold on. Writing them down. I can name right off the bat. I know I can name 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Kevin can name 7. Tony, can you name more than 7?
Wait a minute. Yeah, I think I could do 8.
Tony thinks he can do 8. Kevin, the ball is in your court.
I can do 9.
Tony, can you do more than 9?
I don't know. How many did he say?
9. Kevin says he can name 9.
Yeah, I'm going to do 10.
Tony thinks he can name 10.
I can do 11.
Wow, that was real quick. Kevin says he could do 11.
Of course he could.
How many total answers are there?
14.
Why, you want to shoot the moon, Kevin?
This is to you, Mr. T-Donk. It's deferred to you.
What, how many did he say?
He said 10.
I'll go 11.
12.
Wow.
What?
Are
you crazy?
Unless I completely have the question wrong, but I don't think I do.
I'll repeat it. It's people who have had 2 or more reigns.
I definitely have the question wrong.
As the world heavyweight champion between the years 2002 and 2013.
Yeah, let's get rid of that.
The length of the belt in WWE.
Let's get rid of that one.
Wait, are you changing your mind? How many did you say?
No, I can't. It's impossible.
He is at 12.
Fuck, I'm not sure about this one. I've got one I'm stuck on. Yeah, I'll go 13.
Wow. Wow, Tony Z. T-Donk going heavy with a 13. Kevin gently places his microphone down. He is in the thinker position. Thoughts run through his head. Tony dances.
Thinking.
I'm going to take this time to just promote the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Check out our website. It's downtime. ShiningWizards.com. At Wizards Podcast on all social media platforms. Every Monday, we do a giveaway on our Twitter.
All right. So even if I fail at this, we're still tied, right?
Correct.
You going for it?
Hey, I'm going. So what's the number is 14?
Yes, sir.
And Tony said he could do
13.
I want to just let Tony try. You know what? If I'm gonna go out on my terms. So let's do it.
Kevin's going all 14.
Jesus Christ! All right, dude.
Tony,
all
can
right.
You please pause your music?
You want like spooky music?
I got music right here, buddy.
Jesus.
And I feel like, God, see, that gets rid of him too. I think. Oh, duh! Forgot about this one.
All right, Kevin. So
I'll start off with one that I just thought of right now. I hope it's right. The Big Show.
The Big Show had 2 reigns as WWE World Heavyweight Champion. So you are correct. 1 down, 13 to go.
So I just put him in, but I'm not confident. Triple H.
Triple H had 5 reigns. 2
Undertaker.
Down. Undertaker had 3 reigns.
Edge.
Edge had 7 reigns, the most reigns in the group.
Batista?
Batista had 4 reigns.
So this is where... Did I say Edge? I said Edge, right?
You did say Edge. You have said Edge, Triple H, Batista, Undertaker, and The Big Show.
Well.
Okay, Randy Orton.
Randy Orton had 4 reigns as the champion. You have 6 correct answers.
CM Punk.
CM Punk had 3 reigns as the champion. Halfway there, Kevin.
Whoa!
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, you already said, sir.
Mark Henry.
Mark Henry. Kevin,
is that my downfall?
I am sorry. Mark Henry only had 1 reign as a
world. I wanted to say Christian. I wanted to say Christian first. Christian had 2.
Well, Tony, I want to hear what Tony had on his list, sir.
Oh, no, I'm going to give you the rest of mine.
No. Let me. I want to. Tony said he could name 13. Kevin, I want to see what if he was just talking out his asshole here.
Fucking Mark Henry.
Did he say Cena?
I'm sorry.
Did he say Cena?
He did not say Cena.
I say Cena. Yeah.
All right.
Ziggler.
Ziggler, correct.
I had Ziggler too.
Did he say CM Punk?
He did.
I also had Mysterio.
Correct.
Ooh, did not think of Mysterio.
Del Rio.
Correct.
Had Del Rio.
Jeff Hardy.
Correct.
That was all I had.
So is Jericho there?
Jericho was on the list, and you said Christian.
Did I have Jericho? Oh, so I didn't have Jericho.
I had Jericho. I just said Mark Henry. I wanted to go Christian. I just said Mark Henry first.
So damn. Christian would have been correct. And Jericho would have been the answer.
He would have made it if Mark Henry was his 14th.
Yes. No, but I may not have. I actually had Daniel Bryan on there, and I had Booker T on there. But so I had more than 14, and I had Great Khali on there because I didn't get the list. I forgot that it was multiple times. Yes, I had Cena, I had Angle, I had Punk. Kurt Angle, was Kurt Angle one or no?
No.
No, Kurt Angle is not one.
No. Kurt Angle. All right, we got a tie.
All right.
That means we got to fucking keep going.
This question.
We can wait till next week. I don't mind, Tony.
This question has been in the hopper forever now.
Great. Which is big fucking steaming pile of dog shit.
This one is called X Marks the Spot.
Oh, God.
I like it.
There have been 9.
I got to clear my notes.
19.
Oh, fuck me running.
People to have reigns of 2 or more as the X Division champion.
Totally. I'm with you. I hate games.
This has been literally sitting. One. You can name 1.
I can name 1.
Kevin, can you name more than 1 to have more than 2 reigns as the X Division champion?
In the entire history of TNA?
Yes.
Yes, I can name more than 1.
How many can you name?
Can you name
more?
It's a very vague.
I can name 3.
How many?
3.
Sorry, I was having the sniffles. Tony, can you name more than 3 X Division champions?
Oh no. I don't know.
What are you gonna do?
Oh my god, this is fucking awful. Oh fuck. Oh god, can I even think of like modern people? I'm fucking if I showed you my list, you'd be fucking crying.
Of X Division champions?
Hey, listen, Tony, there's no guarantee that I'll get.
I don't even know if one of them belongs on the list. Oh, Christ. All right. Give me a minute just to jot some down here.
All right. This is X Division champions who have had 2 or more reigns. There are 19 possible answers. And this spans from 2002 until now.
Get this garbage out of the way. No. I was talking about my other. I was starting a new list in my notes.
No, you're good. You're good. So at Wizards Podcast on all social media. If you're following us on the Twitter, we do a weekly giveaway every Monday. All you have to do to enter, retweet or pin tweet. That's it. It starts Tuesday. The contest ends Monday. We randomly pick a winner, and you get a box of wizardry, DVDs, T-shirts, beer koozies, stickers, anything that I have, I will send to you.
It's 2 or more reigns or 3 or more reigns?
2.
2.
2 seems to be the magic number for me tonight. Be sure to check out our T-shirt selection at prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. Tony, I think the question is to Tony because Kevin said 3.
He said 3?
He said 3, as in 1, 2, 3. Special thanks to tonight's guest, Teddy Long. at Teddy Playa Long on the Twitter machine. Be sure to follow him as he has a podcast breaking sometime in the...
I'll say four.
Tony's got a four. Wow, this is quite... I really thought this was going to be right in your wheelhouse, Kevin.
Listen, you know my memory is god-awful.
Yeah, but you excel so well at these shows.
With
is
anybody still in the hot mic?
No, I believe Kate the Great is still there. Kate is hanging out. She's having a good time.
Been listening to this nonsense.
She said, talk about your balls.
I said four.
Kevin, can you name more than four?
I can name...
No, you can't.
I gotta try my damnedest.
See, I think Kevin's fucking with me now.
No, I'm 100% not fucking with you. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people on my list, but I have no idea if all of them are correct.
Wow, I'm really surprised at the two of you.
Because it's just the number of reigns that's throwing me off. What, Tony has 5 or 4?
Tony has 4.
I'll go 5.
Kevin says he can name 5. Tony T Donk to you. The Donk.
I think Tony's messing with
the Donkosaurus, the Donkalicious, the Donka Doctor.
I think I just thought of another one.
Oh, he thinks he just thought of another one.
I'm gonna go 5. Wait, Kevin said 5 or 4?
Kevin said 5.
Alright, then I'll go 6.
Tony thinks he can name 6 X Division champions. X marks the spot. 2 or more reigns.
Come on, Kevin, I want to go to bed.
TNA Impact.
Tony, I'm sorry. I had 6, so all I need is really one more, so I could do 7.
Tony can do 8.
Fuck.
8 is the magic number to you, Tony.
I'm adding another one just to take a shot.
There are 19 possible answers.
What am I up to? 8?
8 is your counter.
Yeah, I'll go 8. Fuck it.
Tony says he can answer 8.
Come on, Kev. Halfway there if you go for 9, buddy. Or sort of halfway there. Holy shit. This was tough, dude. I fucking drew a blank. I had no idea who was even in the X.
It's starting to come back to me, too. So, with that being said...
You're going to let me answer, right?
I am going to go 9.
No, you're not. You're fucking full of shit. Are you sure about that?
Pretty sure, T-Donk.
You know what? Fuck it. 10. 10! Fuck it!
Tony
Let's go!
Says
all right, go. Oh, just do shit. It. He's going to get it. So whatever.
Wow. Kevin dejected. Hold on. I accidentally...
No, because it's going to...
What's wrong, Kevin?
No, nothing's wrong. It's all positive, baby. It's positive Kevin when it comes to trivia games. I learned my lesson. No more negativity from me.
All right, Tony. So you said you can name 10?
There's no way he can name 10.
All right. I'm going with the easy ones first, I think.
All right.
AJ Styles,
he comes in at, where is he? He has 6 reigns as the exhibition champion.
Jerry Lynn.
Jerry Lynn had 2 reigns as the X Division champion.
I didn't even have Jerry Lynn on my list.
Close. Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal had 6 reigns as the X Division champion.
Samoa Joe
had 5 reigns as the X Division champion.
The Kevin Garifo truck driver.
Wow, great pull. Trevor Lee had 3 reigns as the X Division champion. You are halfway there, Tony.
Now this is where it gets dicey.
Really? Surprising.
Loki
had 5 reigns as the X Division champion.
DJZ?
DJZ had 2 reigns.
Oh, get the hell out of here with your DJZ. Champion. Where'd you pull that from?
Oh, my dick.
DJZ.
You have 7, Tony. You need 3 more.
That whole positivity thing lasted 35 seconds. You piece of garbage with your DJZ. Get out of here. Freaking trolling internet goof.
Christopher Daniels
had 4 right, reigns.
That's a respectable answer.
Well, I mean, some of these I got to take a shot in the dark, Kev. Some of these are my Mark Henry. Either they're there or they're not. How many do I have?
You have 8, sir.
These are the tough ones.
All right.
Just spit them out.
Austin Aries.
I'm sorry?
Austin Aries.
Austin Aries with six reigns.
Austin Aries. I'm not really sure. Austin Aries.
Wow. You know what, Kevin?
Dude, fuck you, dude.
He did not do this to you while you answered questions, Kevin. Just sit there and take your medicine.
I'll take it.
Two, bro.
Nine. Tony, one more for the win.
It's down to these two, and I don't know. Well, Daniels is up there. Fuck! I don't know if he was. Kazarian.
Tony Z. Frankie Kazarian had five reigns as an X Division champion. Tony Z gets the point and the win.
I dedicate this win to DJ Z.
Kevin, I'd like to hear who you had on your list.
I had Amazing Red.
Amazing Red is on the list. He had three reigns.
Chris Sabin,
eight reigns, the most reigns out of anyone.
Petey Williams,
two reigns.
Doug Williams,
two reigns.
Wait, that's not the same guy?
No, Petey Williams and Doug Williams are two completely different fucking people. One's from Canada.
They were the same person.
One's from Canada and one's from England.
I had Aries. I had Samoa Joe. I had Daniels. I had AJ. I don't think I had... How many is that? One, two.
Did you have Jerry Lynn?
I did not have Jerry Lynn.
Friend of the show, Jerry Lynn.
So with a little more time, I had Kazarian. I thought about Michael Shane, but I didn't put him in there.
Well, Kevin, if you had put Michael Shane in, you would have been right. He had two reigns.
Did he really?
He did.
Kevin, and there's got to be more current day guys too that I'm forgetting about. Was Eddie Edwards a 2-time champ or no?
He was.
Son of a bitch. There you go.
I didn't think of him.
Eric Young.
No, Eric Young was he was only a 1-time champion for less than a day. You guys would have missed. This is who you're missing. You're only missing two.
It's like Kurt Angle. It's like Kurt Angle or Kevin Nash on there.
Negative. Negative. Rockstar Spud.
Ooh, I would have never guessed that.
Two reigns and Kenny King.
Oh, that's a layup. Son of a gun, that's a layup.
He's a layup?
He's been there. You forget how much time he's spent in TNA.
And Manic or Suicide, they're both the same, so I would have taken those answers.
I thought, you know what? Thought about him.
Or TJ.
Wait, TJ and Doug Williams aren't the same, but Manic and Suicide are the same?
Yes, because they're two different humans. Manic was a character development from Suicide. When Suicide Manic, Suicide.
Oh my God, I thought Petey and Doug Williams were the same person.
See, now you might have a case if you wanted to include TJP in there.
I think TJP would have fallen into Manic Suicide.
I agree.
And I would have accepted that as an answer. Well, but that's all 19 of them.
Well done, T-Dunk.
Thank you, sir. Don't be so mean about the DJZ poll.
Fucking oh my God, DJZ. Name me one match DJZ ever had in his entire life.
The one where he fucking broke Jesse Sorensen's neck.
Other than that one. Tony, I'll give you this. Can you tell me what DJZ is doing right now in wrestling?
He's in NXT, isn't he?
I need a little bit more than that.
He's in NXT. What the fuck's his name now? It's DJZ, isn't it?
I need a little bit more than that, T-Donk.
He's in fucking Retribution. What?
I mean, he might as well be.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's a good point.
Yeah, I knew he was in NXT.
He's the cohort of the Cruiserweight Champion. The whatever the group is called.
What is the cohort of the Cruiserweight?
He's like the muscle. Him and
the other guy came back, you know. Jordan Devlin came back.
Yeah. He did come back in NXT UK.
He's claimed the championship, so good on him.
And to those of you who jumped on the Will Ospreay bandwagon and thought he was responsible for...
Yeah.
You're a fucking dickhead. Stop with the you think you know everything. Wait until the facts come out. Because now you got a bunch of egg on your face, and I'm going to call you old egg face. We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We have a bunch of things lined up for the next couple weeks, so be sure to join us again on the Hot Mic and Rant, emradio.com, every Monday night, starting about 6:45, 7 o'clock.
7:15 for Kevin.
Yeah, well, don't be late. Teddy Long's going to find you. Again, oof, thanks to Teddy Long for joining us, WWE Hall of Famer, the playa, the holla swalla, whatever other crazy catchphrases he has.
Holla swalla?
I don't know. What does he say?
Sounds like a
holla, holla, holla.
Holla, holla, holla.
Give me a holla, holla, holla.
Tony shits his pants when he eats. Holla, holla, holla.
Did you see I responded to Dustin Rhodes? He said, what is non?
Oh, Canada.
Right, we'll be back next Monday night on the Rant, RantiumRadio.com and on the Hot Mic. Thank you for those who joined us on the Hot Mic. If you're listening to this in podcast form on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Google Podcasts, whatever.
Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere now.
If you got a Monday night.
Our radio.
If you're home on a Monday night, you want to watch a couple of jack-offs, watch talk about wrestling. Tune in. Jump on the Hot Mic. Throw in the code WIZARDS when you sign up for the app. It's free. It's absolutely free, but we get the credit to say that you're here for us, and we're here for you. And that looks like Samoa Joe.
That is Samoa Joe. I wonder if I had any of the answers behind me. I did not.
More than two-time Cruise X Division champion. Cruise.
That's right.
Well,
TNA expert, T-Dunk.
I will be back Wednesday night with the AEW Dynamite post-show here on the Rant, Rantian Radio. Kevin will be live tweeting Impact tomorrow night at Wizards Podcast, or Tuesday night, depending on when you're listening to this. And Tony Z, the T-Donk master, he's doing whatever he's doing on
Big Tony Z.
I'll
be watching the United Wrestling Network tomorrow. Hopefully there's no glitches watching Zicky Dice beat the fuck out of the Pope.
And we'll be back next week for another humdinger of an episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Beauty Podcast.
And I'm going to bed before my wife fucking kills me.
Yeah, my
I'm going to play some poker.
My wife's going to fucking
poker? I don't even know her.
My wife's going to murder me if she didn't already make dinner downstairs.
All right. Good times.
All right. We will see you all next week.
Bye.